brought to you by the Eco Design Resources of Santa Cruz, located just off the downtown mall. Eco Design Resources specializes in healthy and sustainable products for your home, including earth-friendly paints, plasters, flooring, countertops, as well as accessories and fine local holiday gift ideas. Please check them out. Have a great day.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Tale of two teller tickets. Take the temperature of the shopping season. Things are slower this year at brick-and-mortar stores, but online, the sales are smoking.
E-commerce sales up almost 30% compared to where they were this time last year. That's very impressive growth. The electronics category has also done very well. That's up about 6% compared to last year, which is a strong number. Luxury retail, generally excluding jewelry sales, has also done well.
Michael McNamara at MasterCard says there are reasons to be hopeful for the retail season, with 1 week of aggressive discounts and deals still to go. If perspective is reality, there are two distinct ones in Washington where the nation's economy is concerned.
Despite downturns in the mortgage industry, President Bush remains decidedly upbeat about the economy.
And so we've had a pretty good economic run here in the country, 6 years of growth.
But that brought rapid rebukes from top Democrats led by Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who says Mr. Bush's claim is detached from reality. He says most middle-class Americans have not had a good run. And he rejects more funding for Iraq, saying the U.S. must stop spending billions on another country's civil war. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
The cafeteria menus on Capitol Hill are going to sound like an alphabet soup of environmental propriety.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat from San Francisco, has begun a Green the Capitol program, friendly to the environment and the stomach.
RGBH-free milk, cage-free shell eggs.
There's a new green organic menu at the eateries of the House of Representatives.
Roasted chicken with fire-roasted tomatoes and goat cheese, cedar plank wild salmon with apple cilantro relish.
Gina Zimmer is with Restaurant Associates, the new caterer on the Capitol's House side.
This is going to be the greenest cafeteria in the United States.
That means biodegradable plates and utensils.
No styrofoam whatsoever.
John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
Two big NBC shows are going back on the air without their striking writers, while David Letterman's company is trying to work out a private deal.
Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien are returning to their NBC shows without their comedy writers. These new shows are expected to focus more on interviews than scripted comedy bits. David Letterman, meanwhile, is trying to reach his own agreement with the Writers Guild. If Letterman can make a deal, both his show and Craig Ferguson's show would return to CBS with their comedy writers.
CBS's Steve Futterman is in Los Angeles. Central Park in New York City is more than 800 acres. Within those manicured woods and lawns and roads and pathways fly roughly 8,000 birds, 57 species. It's the best bird showing in 4 years. The Audubon Society does a Christmas bird count all across the nation with an aggregate report due out sometime in January. Wall Street, the Dow lost 174 points today. The Nasdaq was off 61. Oil, $90.63 a barrel. That's down 64 cents. This is CBS News.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So the clock is ticking, but you can't nail down a gift idea? I can fix that. Because the entire stock of hand tools, power tools, and tool storage is on sale at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. And remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. Not to hammer home a point, but a tool sale this good only happens at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. So don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
The space shuttle program is winding down, and unless something happens, there's a big gap before the next space bird arrives.
For the 5 years between the shuttle and Project Orion, Americans will rely on the Russians to get them to the International Space Station. Space Coast Republican Congressman Dave Weldon says that's a bad idea.
They have clearly been demonstrated that they may prove to be an unreliable partner, and that is a dangerous foreign policy strategy.
He says Russian President Putin's pretty much become a dictator. He calls Russia
a country whose foreign policy objective is the destruction of the United States.
NASA says it doesn't have the cash to do both programs. Weldon says Congress needs to make that a priority. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
In the Netherlands, the crimson glow that has lit many a breathless footstep in Amsterdam may be fading soon, and the picture windows with women offering themselves for rent may be edged out by expanding development. The new mayor wants to clean up the famous red light district with new office space. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey folks, John Madden here for Ace Hardware. You know, there's still plenty of time on the holiday play clock to pick out the perfect gift. Finish off your holiday list with an Ace gift card. It's a thoughtful, convenient gift, and it's accepted at more than 4,000 Ace stores nationwide. Ace gift card recipients can choose from home accents, cool gadgets, and serious hardware. Ace has everything for around the house, plus helpful advice. Stop by your local Ace now and gift wrap an Ace gift card from Ace, the holiday helpful place.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So you're down to the wire, but you still want to pull off the perfect gift. Pull over instead. I'm talking sweaters, folks. Get 50 to 60% off at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. And remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. So bundle up and save a bundle at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. And don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. As usual, we got loads to talk about, lots of great people to talk with. And you're invited to talk, too. Lines are always open for you. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And maybe you've guessed the B in Peter B. Collins. It stands for blah, blah, blah.
Happy for the war.
That's Iggy Pop, and the tune is called Blah, Blah, Blah. Later this hour, we're going to have a little fun. There is a new calendar out for 2008 called Bad President, and it's the countdown calendar through Inauguration Day in 2009. We have a very complicated giveaway scheme that we will share with you when the originator of this calendar joins us in about half an hour. That's Jim Worley. And some Peter B. Collins listeners are going to walk away with a copy for their very own collection. That's going to happen later this hour. And you'll need my toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B, to participate. That's 888-573-8372. We're scheduled to talk with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America at this time, and Katrina's trying to track him down right now. And if you go to Media Matters, there are some very interesting stories up there as they cover the mainstream media, the corporate media, and then try to correct the record. And one of the big stories last week originated as a smear. Billy Shaheen resigned from his post as a mucky muck in the Hillary Clinton for President campaign after he gave an interview where he raised questions about Barack Obama's admissions in his book and on the campaign trail that he used pot and maybe a little blow when he was a teenager. And I have to say that having been victims of smears and what Bill Clinton used to refer to as the politics of personal destruction, it was fascinating to see this one play out as the Clinton campaign worked to deny any authorship of this and distance the campaign from Billy Shaheen, who, by the way, is a very key player. His wife is a major elected official, I think former governor or maybe even a current governor of New Hampshire, a critical primary state, as you know, very early in the process. And so Billy Shaheen is a seasoned political operator, and it is hard to imagine that he did this casually or without some sort of a green light from Hillary and the top officials at that campaign. So when this surfaced, of course, Chris Matthews on Hardball tried to dig into it. He saw a juicy, salacious smear in the works. And he convened, it was Mark Penn, who is the chief strategist for the Clinton campaign, David Axelrod, who is the chief campaign consultant to Barack Obama, and Joe Trippi, who is leading the charge this year for John Edwards. He worked for Howard Dean in 2004. So you have these three heavyweight political consultants there. And, of course, Axelrod is interested in getting some mileage out of this attack on his candidate. And the Trippi, speaking for John Edwards, had kind of a middle role to play, where clearly they saw benefit in painting the Clinton campaign as the source of the smear. But they wanted to keep John Edwards front and center, but above the fray here. So this became a very interesting episode, and then as many of these things evolve, they start off as a story, and then the story is reduced to a soundbite as it is covered by a subsequent story. So at Media Matters on the homepage today, there is a link to a deconstruction of these events from the preceding week, and Nora O'Donnell was on MSNBC later after the broadcast, and one of the things that occurred here was that they nailed Mark Penn for bringing up the word cocaine, and this was done in the form of a denial. It was very clever the way Penn did this. He said, well, I think we've made clear that the issue related to cocaine use is not something that the campaign was in any way raising. Now, he just raised it by denying it. I find that a very interesting tactic, and one that deserves to be exposed or subjected to appropriate sunlight. So as this has played out, and I've seen a couple of the episodes of Hardball because of the holidays, I haven't been watching every night, but I find this very interesting because, of course, Hillary made a formal apology in person to Barack Obama, allegedly on the tarmac at National Airport as they were each catching flights to visit Iowa and participate in the Des Moines Register debate last week. So this then becomes fraught with the personalities of the candidates and their agendas. And I just found it to be a textbook example of how these attacks originate, how responsibility is denied by top party officials, and you have Hillary with her heartfelt apology to Senator Obama. But the issue lives on. The alligator is floating around out there, the allegation, if you will. And so this is going to continue to surface. And here's the cautionary note from my campaign scrapbook. Let's take you back to 1988. A guy named Al Gore was running for president. And in taking on Michael Dukakis, what Al Gore did was talk about a parole issue from the state of Massachusetts when Dukakis was governor. The parolee in question was Willie Horton. And that exchange, while it was little noticed in the primary race, became a focal point for the Bush campaign. And they used the Willie Horton ad very effectively to suggest a race element. And, of course, Willie Horton was an unattractive African-American criminal. And they used his mugshot to basically wedge voters, particularly rednecks in the South, into voting against Michael Dukakis. And so this is one of those dust-ups in the primary that could become grist for a Republican opponent in the general election next year. And that's why you heard people like Joe Biden or Bill Richardson counseling the Democrats shouldn't be attacking Democrats, that they should, state their case, make it on the issues, and not provide this kind of fodder that long-term can be used against us. And particularly when it came from one of us, that becomes a very powerful weapon. So I think it's worth reading, and I recommend that you go to MediaMatters.org and check this out, because it's very interesting to see the original coverage that Matthews did. And I give him some credit. He got the key players there on the show and got them to discuss the issue. But clearly Chris Matthews was milking this for his ratings on Hardball at MSNBC. And so he was, frankly, the guy who brought up cocaine. And then Mark Penn referred to it again. But in the follow-on coverages from Nora O'Donnell and others, the fact that Matthews introduced the term cocaine into the conversation is left out. And you simply hear Mark Penn using that term in what I described to you was that very artful way of denying that they're going to use cocaine as an issue so that he can mention cocaine in the same context as Senator Obama's name. So this one may be over. It's possible that this little dust-up will blow over and we're not going to hear about it again. But I predict that the opposition research team for Huckabee, Giuliani, Romney, and anybody else who dreams of being the Republican nominee, they're working in overdrive right now to gather as much information as they can on all of these players, including Billy Shaheen, who dropped the stink bomb to begin with. And I predict very casually here, we don't have to put any money on this, that this story will be back, and that by October of 2008, either an independent committee like the Swift Boaters or the Republican nominee himself, it's definitely going to be him, will be using this slimeball material. That, of course, if Barack Obama is the nominee for the Democrats. You got a comment about this? Feel free to bring it on. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. As we continue, Michael Wiener Savage is in the news. His comments are drawing more attention, and the New York Times published a profile in the Monday feature section about Mr. Savage. We'll get to that in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start to kick off with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
This is Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Show, and I have good news and bad news for KRXA listeners. First, the good news. I'm cutting an hour from the Tasty Planet Show starting this Saturday. That's right, Saturdays, you'll have an extra hour to sleep in since I'll be delivering everything tasty for your ears starting at 2 p.m. That's the Tasty Planet Show, Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Now the bad news. Just when you thought radio couldn't get any worse, starting December 10th, I'll be live with you for 2 hours, weekdays, Monday through Friday, following the Peter B. Collins Show. That's evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. What's the Scott Dick Show? Glad you asked. We'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, news that hasn't already been lip-smacked to death, right-wing nuttery, weird news, yes, there's a difference, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that influences our lives. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and listen in evenings 6 to 8 on KRXA. December 10th, the gift you can't give back. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., the Scott Dick Show, where we'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
I'm Sheila Gale. Join me every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 as we talk about effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges. Depression, death of a loved one, addictions, illness, fear. There's nothing we won't talk about. My guests include life coaches, best-selling authors, and you. Call in and together we'll find ways to live with less stress and more joy and peace. Brought to you by Sun Street Centers. Serving Monterey County since 1968. Sun Street Centers.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking a look at the performance of the commercial and corporate media in the past week. Visit MediaMatters.org to get the lowdown on some of the things we're talking about today. And Michael Savage is in the news again. We've got a clip here we'll load and try to play for you in just a second. We're clicking play. Let's see if the... it looks like it's going to work. And the New York Times on Monday, December 17th, decided to devote a feature story to a Michael Wiener Savage, who originates here in my town of San Francisco. And it talks about a boycott that was launched against him for some remarks that he made about some Latino Americans at the San Jose State University who were doing a hunger strike, and they were supporting easing immigration laws. And he said that they should fast until they starve to death. And this has led to another attempt to limit the commercial success of Michael Savage. And, well, now he's at it again. Let's listen to this one and see what he had to say.
I don't understand it. I'm in the business. This is supposed to be the most important election in the history of the universe. And I think that basically I'm watching Jackass 1. Why would I watch a debate where they wouldn't even discuss immigration today? Did you hear what went on? The so-called Republicans initiated a so-called debate with a so-called moderator who said, we're not going to discuss immigration. This is amazing to me, how they can expect you to come out and vote for them. Do we have that soundbite? Play it if you have it.
We're going to focus on issues Iowans say they still want to know more about. We won't talk a lot about issues like Iraq or immigration. They're important issues, no doubt, but Iowans say they know where the candidates are coming from.
Just shut up. Iowans say nothing. Shut up. Get her off my show. Iowans say. First of all, who cares what they think in Iowa? That's number one. Why are we still running elections like it's the 19th century, where New Hampshire determines the election? A bunch of yokels in New Hampshire are going to determine the election as much as my dog is going to determine the election. Or a bunch of corn farmers in Iowa. I have nothing against corn farmers, don't get me wrong. But I'm sick of this 19th century model being used to tell who's going to win the election.
Now, Mr. Savage, I refuse to call him doctor. Mr. Savage has a point there. I don't like the way Iowa and New Hampshire have disproportionate influence over our candidates, and for different reasons than Savage. I think that it leaves us with these kind of centrist types instead of more progressive or activist elements of a party. And as I see the situation, too, I don't think the people in Iowa are yokels, but I support the decision of Carolyn Washburn not to talk about immigration at that debate because it has been overplayed by CNN in particular in some of these earlier debates as if it is the most important issue out there. And to the psycho savage mind, it's the most important. Language, cultures, borders. That's all he likes to talk about. Well, I'm sorry. Even among Republicans, immigration polls as the seventh or eighth most important topic. Among Democrats, it's like 10 or 15. And so it's been used by the networks to jack up drama and ultimately hoping to jack up the ratings for these debates. But it's not the most significant issue, and the folks there in Des Moines actually made the right decision. And I'm happy to disagree with Michael Savage on that. We go to Sandra in Sacramento. Welcome. You're on the air, Sandra.
Hey, Peter. Listen, it's not really related to the Michael Savage. I wanted to talk a little bit about that filibuster that's supposedly going on in the Senate.
Yes, there was a vote today, and the progressives, Feingold, Harkin, and others, opposed Harry Reid's amnesty bill for the telecoms, to congratulate them for colluding with the Bush administration to break the law on, and spy on Americans. And so there is a debate threatened, I think, or a filibuster threatened, and I think Chris Dodd is threatening to lead it.
Yeah, well, the thing is that I was I'm glad that's happening, but I'm more concerned about some of the procedure and how Harry Reid seems to extend courtesies to the GOP that he won't.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, he won't, Lindsey Graham put a hold on this so-called calling water board, and he's going to abide by that, but he's not letting his own party member, Dodd, respect the hold on this Pfizer bill.
Well, I'm not really sure what's going on in Harry Reid's mind, but I don't support the moves that he is making. And I would, on the one hand, politically, I don't want to see Democrats fighting Democrats. They've got enough on their hands to take on Bush and the Republicans. But I welcome this struggle inside the party for principle. This is not a petty matter. This is a very critical issue. And I don't think Dodd has a prayer of getting elected as the next Democratic president. But I appreciate what he has brought to the campaign and to the debates and his principled stance on the Military Commissions Act and on the NSA spying program.
Yeah, no. I'm all for whatever struggle they need to do to present some sort of backbone to this administration. But I'm just disturbed that Reid seems to be bending over backwards to accommodate the Bush administration's endeavors with the spying, and it just makes me wonder, what's going on.
Well, Osama bin Laden uses the word cave as a noun, like that's where he lives, and the Democrats have learned how to use it as a verb, and that's what they've been doing.
I didn't know if you could shed any more light on why he seems to be willing to sell the Democrats down the river on this.
I don't know, but I bitterly oppose it, and I encourage. I've been getting emails all day long from people who've been calling senators and Harry Reid's office in particular, and I support that. And still, we need to keep that pressure on and get the message out there that Democrats don't support this kind of cave-in.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you, Sandra. Great to talk to you. Appreciate you bringing that up. We're going to take a break, and then Jim Worley will join us with the bad president calendar, and we've got a very complicated effort to give you some of these calendars. We'll explain it on the other side of this break. Keep listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the new deep heating Shiatsu massaging back cushion from Home Medics, the leaders in massage innovation. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Some say the art of conversation is dying at home, at work, even in public and political discourse. Watch a television interview, and you sometimes get the idea the person being interviewed wasn't listening to the question. Listen to the question, and you get the impression the interviewer hadn't heard the last answer. There's an epidemic of this. Why is it happening, and what can be done? We'll go into that after this for Home Medics. There's now a new Home Medics therapist select Shiatsu massaging back cushion with a new deep-heating massage mechanism that travels up and down your back and feels even more like the hands of a skilled Shiatsu therapist. Gives you penetrating relief from tension, muscle pain, and fatigue. What a gift to be able to give someone. The stress-melting benefit of a Shiatsu massage on demand and without the expense of visiting a massage therapist or owning one of those big pricey chairs. This works with any chair, anytime, all year long. I have one at home, one here at the office, and I have several more to give family and friends this Christmas. The new Home Medic Shiatsu Massaging Back Cushion is so good, it's earned the Good Housekeeping Seal. I love it, and I know you will, too. The new Deep Heating Shiatsu Massage Back Cushion from Home Medics, available at retailers everywhere. On my Sunday morning broadcast on CBS television yesterday, our cover story was Aaron Moriarty's inquiry into what seems to be the lost art of conversation. James Lipton, the host of television's Inside the Actor's Studio, told Aaron that, in his opinion, if conversation isn't a lost art, it's diminishing daily.
In a good conversation, what's happening is that the two people are engaging. One is hearing the other. That sparks something. He or she replies. Then the other person, who is listening just as well, responds. And then you've got a genuine conversation, I think.
Today, with cell phones and iPhones, with BlackBerries and computers, we seem to have no problem making connections, but conversation is something else altogether. Texting and email are especially poor ways to converse, says Lipton.
Do you read your internet mail? It's all abbreviations, and that's great for transmitting messages, but that's not a conversation.
A lot of people today find themselves uncomfortable at the prospect of having to hold up their end of a conversation in social situations. Aaron asked James Lipton about that.
If you had any advice for someone who was afraid of conversation, who was afraid of meeting strangers and being put on the spot and having to converse, you do it for a living, what would you say to them?
Listen. Once the conversation has begun, just listen. It'll spark something in you.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombie has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombie's signature creations, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombie's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next to Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. Click on joerombie.com or call 831-373-0129. That's 373-0129.
Grass-fed versus grain-fed. What you don't know about the meat you are eating is hurting you. U.S. livestock farming has changed drastically over the last generation, creating poisons for our land, our bodies, and the animals themselves. Join healthy, slow-food pioneer Glenn Brooks and pasture farming expert John Wood every Saturday at 10 a.m. for Food is Medicine, and find out how you can eat healthier and taste your food while helping the environment. Visits from regional chefs and recipes included right here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. Up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
That's one of my favorite bush-bashing tunes from the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives, and there's only one guy to blame for that. His name is Yikes McGee from Baltimore, Maryland. And now there's a bad president calendar out. It's, well, it's sitting right in front of me, and it's got a page for every day between now and January 20th, 2009. And I'm only disappointed by the disclaimer on the outside. It says, peeking ahead will not speed Bush's departure. Damn. And Jim Worley is the guy we blame for this one. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Peter B. Good to see you.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Now, are you in cahoots with Yikes McGee?
I don't know Yikes McGee. Yikes McGee is not a friend of mine. I've never now or never been associated with Yikes McGee. I'm a little bit worried about being audited at this point.
I can tell. That was a McCarthy-quality question or response you gave there.
These are paranoid times.
Now, did you consult an attorney before you gave us that answer?
No.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, Yikes McGee is a crooner from Baltimore, and I believe he's got a website under his name, so if you're ever so inclined, you can check it out. And, you know, maybe you could see if he's got a copyright on Bad President and send him a nickel or something. What inspired you to create this calendar along with R.D. Rosen, Rob Battles, Harry Pritchett, and James Friedman?
Well, the Bad President calendar is a collaboration amongst those people you just mentioned and myself, and their part of it was that they had a New York Times best-selling book called Bad President, which featured little photographs of George Bush and humorous quotations and captions about him.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was pondering, you know, looking forward to the end of the Bush years, I was concerned with the idea that that maybe people would start to forget how bad it was. And the only thing we had out there were, you know, silly quotations. And I didn't want this guy to become like the Yogi Berra of American presidents.
Mm-hmm.
Just known for, you know, malapropisms. So we put together a calendar that was different in a couple of ways. It wasn't just quotations. It has little news nuggets reminding people of everything that happened during the administration and some historical analysis, as long as it can fit onto a little page. And we made it 16 months long as opposed to a 12-month calendar.
Excuse me, I just gave you some feedback there. I apologize. Now, why the 16-month time frame? Most calendars are 12 months, Jim.
Well, our feeling was we wanted to put out an I Can't Wait calendar. It seemed a shame to have to wait until after Christmas to start counting down George Bush.
Well, I can't wait. And here's what I want to do, Jim. You were kind enough, or your publisher or somebody in the works there, to send us a box full of these calendars. And
great.
We want to turn around and give them to our listeners, and I'm actually going to spring for the postage on this. So I'm going to open up the phone lines right now. And as listeners know, in the radio business, it's the law that in order to get something, to win something, you've got to jump through hoops. And so I've got a very difficult set of hoops for you. You've got to be able to call in and get my toll-free number correct. All right? So you have to dial the digits in sequence. Then you have to be coherent enough to pass muster with Katrina Rill, our able producer. Then you have to survive a long wait on hold. And then when we put you on the air, you have to blurt out a date, some date, between now and January 20th of 2009, and when you blurt out that date, Jim Worley is going to flip to that page of the calendar and share it with us, either by describing it or reading it or both. Jim, you cool with those rules?
Okay, I think I've got them.
You can handle that?
All right.
Now, I'm going to set an example for people so that there can be no doubt about exactly how this works. And let's just pick my next birthday, all right? It's April 21st. Of 2008, and I've just turned to that page now, and why don't you read that one to us with some inspiration, Jim?
Let's have a look here. January, February, March, April.
Mm-hmm. April 21st.
What birthday would that be?
It's going to be number 55.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I can wait.
April 21st, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
This one starts with a lead-in line which says, when I was younger, I aimed to be a chain of liquor stores.
Oh.
And what he initially had said, this is a quote from George Bush in San Jose on April 21st, 2006, he said, I aim to be a competitive nation.
Mm-hmm.
I aim to be a competitive nation.
And he said it right here in California.
One was a quote. And on that day, your birthday, congratulations, you'll have 274 days left of the George Bush administration.
That's the best part of this calendar. It helps you count it down. All right, we go to line one. We have Terrence in Aptos, California. Hello, Terrence. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
How about July 4th?
July 4th. Jim, can you take us and give us a distinguished and inspired reading of the July 4th entry, please?
This one actually winds up being more in the news than I thought it would be when I wrote it. This one is called My Kind of Cop. In July 2006, to avoid felony indictments and possible jail time, former commissioner of New York City Department of Corrections Bernie Carrick pled guilty in New York City to accepting $165,000 in free construction work from a company publicly linked to the mob. This was not the first time he had run into trouble. As Giuliani's hand-picked police chief, Carrick in 2002 joined the board of Taser International, which sells stun guns to such customers as the Department of Homeland Security. Carrick was criticized for trading on his 9/11 celebrity when he was granted and exercised $6.2 million in stock options from that company. Not too bad.
Not too bad.
In May 2003, he was sent to Iraq to rebuild the Iraqi police force, but quit and returned home 3.5 months later amid charges of corruption and mismanagement. Seems to be a trend. In December 2004, he was forced to withdraw from consideration for Homeland Security Director after details surfaced of an illegal nanny and the use of Ground Zero Rest apartment to shack up with his former publisher,
Judith Regan. And she never signed me for a book deal. That's why I'm bitter.
Unfortunately, yes.
I didn't want to have a tryst with her, but a book deal I would have accepted then.
Now, of course, that's more important now as in the fullness of time we see how that reflects on Giuliani as the next potential successor to George Bush.
Right. So, Terrence, you satisfied with that one?
I'm very satisfied.
Would you like a calendar?
I'd be delighted.
All right, we'll put one in the mail to you, but I'm going to clue you that it won't be there in time for Christmas, all right?
That's great. I'll still enjoy it.
I don't want to get in line at the...
I'm going to look ahead at every day.
Good. I don't want to get in line at the post office till after the rush. All right, Terrence, did we get your address?
No, put me on hold.
Hold on, and Katrina will get that, and we will take care of business. Now, Jim, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your political background, and why do you hate America so much?
Well, like you, I don't hate America. I do copy hating George Bush pretty vehemently, and I think who was it? The fellow who's running for office in Minnesota said something very bright the other day. Al Franken.
Al Franken.
He said the youngest people he's trying to appeal to as voters are 18, and they don't remember a time. They were 11 when George Bush came to office. They don't remember a time when the American president was articulate, and they don't remember a time when America was respected around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what he didn't add to that was they don't remember a time when America was respected around the world by our friends. I mean, you expect it from our enemies, but if you go abroad nowadays, I mean, our friends don't respect America.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, pretty brutally, you know, saddening.
Mm-hmm. What's your own political pedigree, Jim? You write about politics. You ever been in a campaign?
Oh, no. I'm not a political talking head or a pundit or anything of that sort. I'm just a, you know, ordinary citizen. I'm a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, one of many people who it grates on my nerves that the mainstream media, I think, has given George Bush a bit of a free pass.
Mm-hmm.
in terms of taking him to task for the things that he's said and done. It's kind of part of his strategy. It seems that he can get away with anything. He acts with
impunity.
Regard to impunity. Yeah.
Yeah, it's obscene. It really is. Now, I don't really hate Bush. I really despise his policies, the corruption, the cronyism, the violation of our Constitution, and the damage that he's done, as you pointed out, even among our friends around the world, not to mention our enemies. And yet at the same time, I don't know. I don't find there's any healthy expression in hating somebody like him. I just look forward, like you do, to the day that he goes back to Crawford and maybe on down to that 98,000-acre ranch in Paraguay that his daughter bought so he can escape from the long arm of American law.
His daughter, the author?
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she had to do something with those royalties. Jen in Sacramento joins us. Hello, Jen.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm fine. Say hello to Jim Worley. He just got his voice back, and we want to help him out a little bit here. No screaming, Jim. And when the interview's over, I recommend a good shot of scotch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Hi. So, okay, the date that I'm going to holler is actually my birthday, December 31st.
Ooh, okay. That's getting perilously close to departure day, December 31st. Jim, what's...
Wednesday, December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the days that I thought was an interesting exercise in a little bit of historical analysis.
Oh, yeah.
We call these pages the Who Was Worst. And I tried to go through as many presidents as there were. So this one is called Who Was Worst, James Buchanan or George W. Bush?
Mm-hmm.
James Buchanan sought Congress to restore a nation divided by North and South, preferably on the South's terms. James Buchanan claimed that the slaves were treated with kindness and humanity. James Buchanan vowed his presidency would avoid civil war at all costs, and James Buchanan left the nation hopelessly divided by a civil war. On the other hand, George Bush sought in court to restore a nation divided by blue and red, preferably on the red terms. Interesting parallel. Claimed the prisoners at Gitmo were treated with kindness and humanity. Vowed his presidency would pursue Iraq war at all costs.
Yeah.
And left Iraq hopelessly divided in civil war. You make the call.
Well, and Jen, you wouldn't be offended by this, but if we translate this into Ebonics, wouldn't Who Was Worse roughly be Who Mo Bad?
Essentially, yes. And that would be George Bush.
All right, Jen, will you hold on? We've got a calendar on the way to you.
Thank you.
Great to have you listening in Sacramento today. I appreciate that. And, Jim, has anybody objected to this calendar? Have you been sued or, you know, has anybody gotten real huffy and puffy and said, this is embarrassing, this is ugly, this is un-American?
Not so far, not so bad, but I've done probably about a dozen or so interviews, and I found that even on the Republican side, when I'm talking to essentially right-wing talk shows, he doesn't enjoy a lot of popularity right now.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's pretty much universal that people just want to kind of see it gone. But the one thing I did notice is people don't want to talk seriously. Even if they don't like George Bush, Republicans want to talk more about, ha-ha, wasn't that kind of amusing, let's all move on. It's kind of like that scene in Santa Claus is Coming to Town where they just kind of discard the fact that they supported the Burgermeister Meisterburger.
Yeah, right.
And they had a good laugh, and then they threw his picture on the dustbin of history and moved on.
Well, Jim, I've got one of these calendars earmarked for my Republican neighbor, Hank, and I'm just going to give it to him and see what happens. Let's go to Jason in Eureka. Welcome, Jason. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jim Worley.
How you doing, Peter, Jim?
Good.
Hi.
What's the date on your mind, Jason?
I was thinking September 11th would be an interesting one.
Ooh, okay. 9/11/08. Let me flip a couple of pages here. What do you got, Jim?
It's kind of a tough one to search. I'm using Control F.
Oh, okay. It's because in Canada there
because
are still...
Because in Canada there are still consequences for this type of thing.
Ooh. This is about Maher Arar.
It is indeed. In September 2002, Maher Arar, a Canadian citizen, was detained by U.S. officials while on a stopover at JFK Airport, questioned about links to Al-Qaeda. In an illegal act of extraordinary rendition, Arar was turned over to Syria, where he was held in a grave-like cell, beaten, tortured, forced to make a false confession. Ultimately, Arar was returned to Canada after a letter-writing campaign resulted in intense scrutiny by the media. Arar was cleared of all charges of links to Al-Qaeda by a Canadian court of inquiry and facing charges that Arar was arrested based on erroneous information passed to the U.S. by the RCMP, that's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Mr. Giuliani Zaccardelli, Canada's top law enforcement official, was forced to tender his resignation.
Well, and the Canadians gave him a cash settlement of, I think, almost $10 million Canadian dollars and apologized to him. And here we just routinely reject his attempts to get justice in our courts.
Well, you know, for the record, we deny that we take part in this kind of activity.
That's right. But over the weekend, Jim, we got further corroboration that Jeppesen Aviation, actually it's called Jeppesen International Trip Planning, based in San Jose, California, just down the road from me, a subsidiary of a little company called Boeing, they bragged to staff members that, yeah, they do all the torture flights. isn't that something to be proud of? Oh, yeah, we got a fleet of private jets, and we handle all the torture guys. Jason,
yeah,
thanks.
On the bright side, he got a lot of air miles for that.
Yeah, right. Jason, hold on. We'll get your mailing address and ship it out to you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, and happy holidays to you. We're going to take a quick break and return with Jim Worley. We got the Bad President calendar. Lines are loaded here at 888-5, Peter B., 888-573-8372. You name the date, we'll read the entry, and if you get on the air, you get a calendar. Isn't that complicated? We'll do more of this just after a quick break on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you
you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey. And if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
Central Coast residents mourn the loss of Father Charles L. Moore. Father Charlie was a beloved figure in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties for over 50 years. Elected the Santa Cruz District Attorney in 1954, he became a Catholic priest in 1964. In recent years, Father Charlie frequently appeared on the AM 1240 radio show in the company of angels. Father Charlie was a progressive, inclusive Catholic who dedicated his life to bringing together people of different faiths and cultural backgrounds. His book, Synthesis Remembered, Awakening Original Innocence, was published in 2006. There will be a viewing vigil on Tuesday, December 18th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Paul Mortuary, 390 Lighthouse Avenue in Pacific Grove. A memorial service will be held on Wednesday, the 19th, at 11 a.m. at the Pacific Coast Church at 522 Central Avenue in Pacific Grove. Father Charles' friend, Dr. Bill Little, will officiate. After the service, Father Charlie will be remembered at a reception from 1:30 to 4:30 at the Holly Farm at 9200 Carmel Valley Road in Carmel Valley.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
400 days or less. George W. Bush and Dick Cheney occupying the White House. We got the Bad President calendar. It's out for your holiday gift-giving pleasure. Available at corporate bookstores and probably some independents, too. It's published by Workman Publishing. And Jim Worley, do you have a website we can direct people to get a taste of the Bad President calendar?
Well, you can go to the Workman website, which is at workman.com, and they have Bad President and Bad President calendar excerpts both on that website.
Okay, great. All righty, and let's take another caller here. Ellen is on the line from Trinidad, just north of Eureka. I've even been there. Hello, Ellen.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well today. How about you?
Doing just great, thank you.
What date do you have in mind next year?
Okay, next year. How about May 26th?
Okay, May 26th. I'm at the 24th, 25th, and here we go. The fox guarding the press house, it reads.
May 26th.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a Monday this year.
And it's going to be the official Memorial Day observation. I can get started, Jim. Following the invasion of Iraq, a number of reporters and commentators raised the question of why the press had been so uncritical of administration claims and justifications for going to war. Christiana Amanpour, CNN's well-known chief foreign correspondent, stated the press was intimidated. I think the press was self-muzzled. I'm sorry to say that television, and perhaps to a certain extent my station, was intimidated by the administration and its foot soldiers at Fox News. And then you cite the mea culpa that the New York Times published in on May 26th of 2004.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said that from the editors, they apologized for printing numerous untrue articles suggesting that Saddam Hussein was actively developing nuclear weapons and possessed biological and chemical weapons, articles that depended at least in part on information from Iraqi informants, defectors, and exiles whose credibility had come under increasing public debate in recent weeks.
You mean curveball.
Mm-hmm. And the Times concluded the blame for the misreporting fell on the editors at several levels who should have pressed with more skepticism but were perhaps too intent on rushing scoops. Again, it's kind of funny the way that mirrors what's going on right now with his attempt to Iraq the whole situation in Iran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just leaves you shaking your head.
It does.
Well, and they get away with it, and they resort, you know, if it worked once, let's try it again. It's the same playbook.
Right.
Well, and Jim, this is helpful because by linking to the dates when, you know, the earlier events occurred, it helps us recall those because, you know, there's been so much lawbreaking, so much constitutional bending that it does become a burden and people have a hard time keeping it all straight. Is that the case with you, Ellen?
But unfortunately, it's more like deja vu all over again.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I hear you.
Unfortunately.
Did we get your address yet?
Not yet.
Okay, well, hold on, and Katrina will get that, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you, same to you.
You bet, Ellen. Now to Dave and Eureka, our most loyal listener and caller. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Peter and Jim. Let's try January 17th.
January 17th. Okay, this goes to the bottom of the stack here.
Thursday. Gee, do you think he meant the Carlyle Group? Our military organization today bears little relation to that known by any of my predecessors in peacetime. Also, until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. This conjunction of immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, and even spiritual, felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Wow. Jim, you don't know just how on target that is for Dave from Eureka. Dave is the guy who calls and rails about Halliburton.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Halle Berry's half-sister.
President Eisenhower in his farewell address.
Right.
There's another interesting...
Well, let me ask you to hold that because time is tight here, Dave. Congratulations. Hold on. We'll get your address and mail it to you. And let's sneak in one more. It's Ed from Aptos. Hello, Ed. You're on the air.
Hello. Greetings.
Good. Give us a date next year.
Well, I was going to go for two. One, Christmas 07, Christmas 08.
Well, let's just do one because we're limited
on time.
Okay.
Do the 25th of December 2008.
Okay.
I believe that is, and if you have a few bucks left, maybe mm-hmm. some remedial public speaking classes. And Bush said, so please give cash money to organizations that are directly involved in helping save lives. Save the life who had been affected by Katrina, Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, boy. We're not going to miss
the life who had been affected.
We're not going to miss the way he mangles the language. Ed, thanks a lot. Hold on. We'll send this to you in the mail, and happy holidays to you and yours.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Jim Worley, this has been fun. Thank you for producing the calendar. I will certainly keep one here and change the page every day, counting down to the glorious day when we can all take a deep breath and say, glad that one's over.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Worley, Bad President Calendar. It's available out there at your local bookstore. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
It's great to talk with you. This hour's podcast at peterbcollins.com. That's the website where you can drop me an email, too. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good. Just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
7 shopping days till Christmas and sales are slow.
There's really an icy headwind that a lot of these retailers are facing.
One factor is the rising price of food.
Eggs are up 51 cents a dozen, and the big killer is milk. It's up 90 cents a gallon over this time last year.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. For retailers, this is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but it's not turning out that way. This past weekend, analyst John Morris says the stores should have been packed and shoppers should have been spending freely.
The reality, if anything, was that we saw a downturn in traffic and lackluster sales.
More from CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason.
Across the country, shoppers will tell you they're being
a little more frugal, a little bit of concern starting to creep into my mind about the economy.
I just think people aren't spending as much, things aren't going as well.
An ominous sign, sales of women's clothing have dropped nearly 6% so far this holiday season. Women are usually the season's biggest buyer. The good news, electronic sales are up nearly 6%. Luxury goods up more than 10%. But while internet sales have jumped 18%, that's far below the 26% surge they had last year.
President Bush, speaking to a Rotary Club in Fredericksburg, Virginia, acknowledged problems in the economy.
Definitely some storm clouds and concerns. But the underpinning is good.
He said we'll work our way through this period. Now this.
Happy Honda Days!
May I help you?
Greetings. I had my eye on this nice big Odyssey. And this Civic sure is a looker. Oh, and the Accord. It's all new, isn't it?
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
Oh, what the heck? I'll take all of them.
You want every Honda in our showroom?
Do you think I can fit them in this large red bag?
All right, is this a joke? Am I on a hidden camera or something?
Attention, there's a reindeer parked outside with its nose light on.
I'll be right back.
Happy Honda Days ends January 2nd.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So you're down to the wire, but you still want to pull off the perfect gift. Pull over instead. I'm talking sweaters, folks. Get 50 to 60% off at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. Now remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. So bundle up and save a bundle at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. And don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
One factor in the sluggish holiday sales is that before people go shopping, they have to eat, and food prices are sharply higher. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bauer says it goes back to the high cost of energy.
Biofuels, they're driving a lot of the grain products higher, which is affecting everything along the way. Farmers who need to feed their animals these grains are having to pay more. Farmers who feed dairy cows are paying more. Farmers who are putting fuel in the fields are paying more for oil.
There's also more demand for food. The emerging economies of India and China are allowing their people to eat better. At a ceremony in Trenton today, New Jersey Governor John Corzine signed the bill abolishing the state's death penalty.
I believe society first must determine if its endorsement of violence begets violence, and if violence undermines our commitments to the sanctity of life.
8 men on death row have had their sentences commuted to life in prison without parole. Among them is Jesse Temindiquas, the sex offender who murdered 7-year-old Megan Kanka in 1994. That's the case that inspired Megan's Law. Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, a Democrat who became an independent, showed his independence today by endorsing a Republican for president.
Make John McCain the next president of the United States.
He campaigned in New Hampshire. McCain, like Lieberman, supports President Bush's strategy in Iraq. Lieberman, you'll remember, was Al Gore's running mate in 2000. It's the strongest signal yet that Fidel Castro will not return to the Cuban presidency. In a letter read on Cuban television, Castro says he will not hold on to power or obstruct the rise of younger leaders. Castro has been ailing since undergoing a series of operations that started in the summer of 2006. Writers or no writers, NBC plans to bring back The Tonight Show and The Late Night on January 2nd.
I think that once Carson Daly decided to go back and do his last call program for NBC, that was a pretty good indication that Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien would not be far behind.
Aaron Barnhart reports on television for the Kansas City Star. Bill Carter, the New York Times TV critic, says tonight won't be what we're used to.
There's no question that the show will look vastly different. I expect you'll probably see an extra guest and a lot more just conversation on the show than comedy.
David Letterman is likely to return with a monologue. His company, which owns The Late Show, says it hopes to cut a separate deal with the writers' union. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So the clock is ticking, but you can't nail down a gift idea? I can fix that. Because the entire stock of hand tools, power tools, and tool storage is on sale at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. Now remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. Not to hammer home a point, but a tool sale this good only happens at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. So don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We've got a lot to talk about, as usual. Coming up later this hour, Nancy Lessen, co-founder of Military Families Speak Out. We'll talk about the way the Democrats have caved on continuing funding for Bush's occupation of Iraq. Probably some other issues, too. But first, we're joined by author Donald L. Cleveland. He's published a new book called Revitalizing America, a declaration against our government. Don Cleveland, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Doing fine. Nice to talk with you. Don, I first learned about you and your book because I heard a radio commercial in your voice on a station in San Francisco, and it piqued my interest, and your publisher sent me a copy. And it doesn't look like you're at any risk of running onto the New York Times bestseller list, but you do seem to have a real passion for the subject that you've written this book about, and I appreciate that. I connect with the urgency and the concern that you show for the decline of our constitutional democracy, particularly under this administration.
Right.
Before we dive into your thoughts, tell us a little bit about yourself. You've worked in government, in legislative and lobbying roles. Give us a little example of what you've done in your career.
Well, Peter, I originally started working with the government when I worked with an organization for local governments in the state of Minnesota, and then went on from there to work as the assistant director of the research department for the Minnesota House of Representatives,
mm-hmm.
a position I had for several years. And then I went on to take another position to become the chief lobbyist and executive director of an organization of governmental associations in Iowa. And from that position, I lobbied for 10 years at all three levels of government, that is the local, the state, the federal, regional, and then in Washington, D.C. as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. And are you retired now or working as a spook? What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm sort of semi-retired, and I'm in what I'd like to call international finance. It's a specialty area of dealing with people who seek to have their own insurance companies, and we help them develop them either onshore or offshore or internationally, wherever they desire to go.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I wanted to start off with this, Don, because in the summer of 2005, my program started on our flagship radio station, KRXA, in Monterey. It covers Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, and the beautiful Carmel coastline there down to Big Sur. Mm-hmm. And when we first started, you know, when a new radio station comes on the air, we're working out the bugs, we did something a little different, and it got people's attention. We played a five-minute loop, the Fifth Dimension singing the Declaration of Independence. And we played it more than 10,000 times, okay, just over and over again. And people started to notice, and they'd call up and say, wow, there's something new on the dial, but what is that revolutionary screed that those people are singing?
Yeah.
And so I just want to play a little excerpt for you here, and then we'll talk about what the Declaration and what the Constitution mean to you.
That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of the easing,
that's right, alter or abolish.
To institute new government.
Have the right to alter or abolish and seek a new government. Don Cleveland, what do those words mean to you a couple of hundred years later? Are you there, Don?
I'm sorry. I'm. Are you talking to me, Peter?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I need to fade the music out. I understand. It's still coming through on your ear. There we go.
Yes, it is. Right.
Sorry about that. The listeners couldn't hear that, but you could.
Yes.
So my question was, what do these documents mean to you a couple of hundred years after they were signed and enacted?
Well, Peter, they really represent to me, as I laid out in my book, the framework for all of the civil conduct that we deserve in this country, and they represent the promises made to the people on how they should be treated by their government, in fact, how their government should look at them and how they should look at the government. I go on from there to deal not only with the Declaration of Independence, which I repeat in my book, although some people advise me not to, but I decided that that's one of the great bases of our democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to repeat it. But many people in our country really just don't understand that we were made these promises, we were dragged into a revolution so that we could have our freedoms, and then a product of the revolution was a form of a constitution that didn't work, and we turned around and adopted our present constitution and continually add amendments to it, which in their nature really are supposed to give us more freedoms and rights, but in fact are really not being implemented by the people who we elect to implement them.
And indeed, the only current, not only, but primarily, the current proposals for amending the Constitution are to restrict rights, not to expand them. They want to restrict gay marriage, for example, through a constitutional amendment. They want to restrict abortion rights, if possible, through a constitutional amendment. And we don't see people currently agitating to amend the Constitution to expand rights. The other one that's talked about and that even some alleged progressive Democrats support is a constitutional amendment to ban flag burning. And I don't support flag burning, but I certainly don't support a constitutional amendment to ban it. I think it flies directly in the face of our First Amendment.
Well, Peter, I do too. And beyond that, it really is a shame that we have the not just gradual creep, but the strong and aggressive creep of religion into the government. And while I personally have my own beliefs about religion and practice my own faith, I can't tell other people what they should do and how they behave. I can't enter into their bedroom. I can't have our government with its ears sticking into the bedrooms or into the private lives of people. That was what we were promised when our Constitution was adopted, that it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And yet we have more and more people running in that direction, And again, what I set out in my book is a course in the other direction, that it's time to take some steps which secure the freedoms that we have in a better way.
Yeah.
Even I become so bold as to say that we need to scrap the part of our existing Constitution that even talks about slavery. A nation that that has freedom as its objective shouldn't have an instrument that guides its national purpose, which shows that we believed at one time that we could hold slaves and count them as only three-fifths of a person.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any objection to that. Don Cleveland is our guest. His new book is called Revitalizing America. Don, tell our listeners how they can get a copy of your book.
Well, the book is available at all Barnes & Noble stores. If they happen to be out, then you'd have to order it. But then the other way is just to go online and go to the WWW's revitalizingamericabook.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they can then order it online, and I might say it's less expensive online than it is if you buy it in store.
Okay, that's revitalizingamericabook.com, and Don Cleveland is the author. Now, let me turn to the issue of impeachment, because Congressman Wexler of Florida has finally spoken up and is joining Dennis Kucinich and a few others in support of Kucinich's H. Res. 333.
Yeah.
And I fully support this, and I continue to be puzzled as to why Democratic Leader Pelosi keeps saying that it's not on the table. And I think there are a lot of different ways to approach it. I don't believe that it should be the top priority of the Democratic Party. But I really am just so offended that Bush and Cheney have clearly violated their constitutional oaths of office. And we have a great deal of evidence to that effect. And yet, politically, the Democrats are saying, well, you know, there's no sex in the Oval Office, so we're not going to pursue this thing. And I think it's important, far beyond party politics, Don Cleveland, I think it is an important statement of accountability, both domestically and internationally, that says we do not approve of a government of ours that tramples our constitutional rights, enters into a unilateral and illegal war, and, you know, fritters away our taxpayer dollars, you know, as McCain even has said, like drunken sailors.
Right. It's really disgusting, Peter, that we do have a mentality that allowed the Republicans to actually take action against President Clinton because he had a sexual indiscretion in the White House. And at the same time, as you say, we have these horrendous violations of our constitutional rights under the Bush administration, and no one has the courage to step forward to actually even sanction him or offer a motion that would sanction him on the floor of the House and the Senate. We really need to have more courage demonstrated on behalf of the Democrats in Congress. We know that they're up against it as sort of an uphill push, because it's unfortunately in the hard everyday world of political pragmatism, which I was involved in as a lobbyist, it really comes down to the fact that they don't have the votes to actually go through with the impeachment in the Senate. They can't convict him.
But Don, you know, it's interesting. I used to argue that.
Mm-hmm.
And Cindy Sheehan, before she ever went to Crawford the first time, I talked to her about 2 weeks before that in the summer of 05 or 06, whatever it was. And she said, you know, Peter, there wasn't broad support for Nixon's impeachment at the beginning either.
No, there wasn't.
And, you know, we've got to understand that it's a two-part process, that the House indicts and then the Senate conducts a trial.
Right.
And until the indictment, which is based on a lengthy investigation, is actually produced, then I think it's unfair to count votes in the Senate and say, oh, you know, we can't persuade enough Republicans to support this. And maybe even some Democrats or people like Joe Lieberman. I don't know what party he's in anymore. And I just think that's the wrong notion, because even if it doesn't result, and there isn't enough time now, in ultimately removing Cheney or Bush from office, it says we took a stand, we investigated this, and we object to the unconstitutional and illegal actions of this administration. That's the statement I want. There isn't enough time to actually remove him from office now.
No, that's correct, and I can't say that I don't agree with you, because I'm the first one to always encourage people to take a step that actually gets them starting or get them started to make a goal. And we do have to make that kind of pronouncement, And fortunately or unfortunately, I happen to live in Congressman Wexler's district,
mm-hmm.
and our Democratic club actually did encourage him to take a stand in supporting an impeachment. So we're behind, actually, in a lobbying effort to keep that impeachment moving along.
Well, Don, you've got my gratitude. Thank you very much. We've got to take a quick break and return with Donald Cleveland. His new book is called Revitalizing America. Go to the website revitalizingamericabook.com and order your own copy. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
And we're taking a look at traffic here in the Bay Area. First of all, excuse me, the Santa Cruz area. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in eastbound 183 is sluggish between Castroville and Salinas at last report. Eastbound 129 looking pretty good between Watsonville and Aromas at this point. Eastbound 25 between, out of Gilroy into Hollister. Pretty solid stuff going on. We had a problem earlier, South 17 at the Cats restaurant. It appears everything's off to the shoulder. Also want to tell you about slow-and-go traffic between Monterey and Carmel. Looks like pockets of the slow stuff being reported there, so heads up traveling in that area. And this report brought to you by Marquee Kleenex brand 2-ply tissue. It's the one that you need during the wintertime. Marquee Kleenex brand.
Peter B. Collins Show.
Those who start wars never fight them.
those who fight wars. I never liked them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. Who just fight laws, we live and die them.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Don Cleveland, Donald L. Cleveland. He's written a new book called Revitalizing America, subtitled A Declaration Against Our Government. You can find out more and order a copy on the web at revitalizingamericabook.com. Don Cleveland, there's a lot in your book, and I've just picked a couple of things to chat with you about here. There's been a lot of discussion, particularly on the progressive side, about the role of corporations, the claim of corporate personhood, and the excesses of corporate America and the way corporations live much longer than humans and trample our rights in various different ways. You offer a proposal for a community corporation.
Yes.
Explain this and how it would work and why it would be more attractive than the current corporate structure that we're familiar with.
Well, the community corporation is a device to really help the people who are the taxpayers recover something from these millionaire beggars coming around and asking the public to help finance these huge stadiums or other kinds of ventures where the public invests money, demolishes several hundred homes and mm-hmm. clears sites for developers to take advantage of.
Yeah, we have Balco Park in San Francisco. They give you a free dose of the clear every time you go to a game.
Well, in the proposal or in the concept of a community corporation, the individuals, the public, the citizens of a community actually become participating shareholders in the development. Whenever the government gives money to something, the community must become a shareholder. It can't merely become a donor so that when the ball club gets decide they want to walk away from this big stadium that was built, that they just pick up their toys and leave, while the public remains saddled with a large bill. And the only thing that the public has gained from it is, let's say, support of a ball club.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that I don't support ball clubs or I don't think that ball clubs are important. But remember, they're monopolistic enterprises that have been granted that monopolistic right by the government. And they take advantage of that monopolistic right for their owners to earn hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, and it sounds to me like you're describing Al Davis of the Oakland Raiders. I describe him as a serial extortionist. And he played L.A. off against Oakland and then Oakland off against L.A. and has scored millions of bucks that went directly into his pocket at the expense of Oakland, you know, one of the most impoverished urban centers in America.
Yes. Yeah, those things like that are really a tragedy, and they shouldn't happen. It's just another example of corporate America. Really, I hate to use the word that way, but they're really sort of raping the public.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't care. They have no loyalty to America in the first place.
Well, here's another example, and I'm a little thirsty, but this bottle of water, it says Crystal Geyser on it, bottled at the source. But what they did is they pumped groundwater from areas well beyond the property that Crystal Geyser owns in Calistoga, California. And so they stole water from nearby neighbors or from the community at large. And, you know, I paid, what, 79 cents for this?
Right.
We learned last week, too, that there was a company that stole thousands of tons of sand from the state of California and sold it on the open market.
Well, this type of greed really doesn't stop. I mean, it goes on and on. And one of the better examples I can give you is just to take a look, for example, at the Superfund.
Mm-hmm.
The Superfund was created, as many people know, to clean up bad toxic waste sites. And it was originally funded by what was really called a polluter pay tax.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the people who polluted the site used it up and dirtied the area and poisoned hundreds of people in the process had to pay for cleaning up the site. Under the Republicans, when they came into office in 1996, they removed the polluter pay provision from the Superfund, and instead of the polluters mm-hmm. picking up 72% of the cost of cleanups...
Don Cleveland, I'm out of time. Thank you very much. The book is Revitalizing America, revitalizingamericabook.com.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
What are we witnessing here? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The poll figures are unmistakable. Mike Huckabee, who was a second-tier Republican, is now the clear front runner in Iowa. One poll has him at 39%, 16% ahead of second-place Mitt Romney. And the reason? That he's the governor from Hope, Arkansas? That he believes in giving in-state college tuition to the children of illegal immigrants? His willingness to negotiate with Iran? I can't help him with Republicans. Is there his affability? Losing all that weight, the way he easily diffuses tough questions? Maybe. But it was a not-so-tough question 3 weeks ago that revealed what he thinks is the real reason.
What do you attribute this surge to?
There's only one explanation for it, and it's not a human one.
He was, of course, referring to divine intervention.
It's the same power that helped a little boy with two fish and five loaves feed a crowd of 5,000 people.
Now, in New Hampshire, Romney is still far ahead with 32%, and Huckabee a distant fourth. But remember the story.
There literally are thousands of people across this country who are praying that a little will become much.
And it's happening under the radar, where the pundits can't see.
And I'm enjoying every minute of their trying to figure it out. And until they look at it from a just experience beyond human, they'll never figure it out. And that's probably just as well. That's honestly why it's happening.
John McCain may have the endorsement of the newspapers, but Mike Huckabee is convinced that he has the only endorsement that really matters.
Reason number 7 to switch to Geico. You never met a body of water you didn't like. If you love personal watercraft, you need to call Geico, because now Geico can help insure all the stuff that moves you, including PWCs. Great rates, great coverage, and personal service 24/7. Call anytime, 1-800-442-9253, or visit geico.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire.
this time of year, America is awash with that holiday music that makes us all feel wistful about being home for the holidays. And I'd like to just pause for a moment to state the obvious. 160,000 American troops, men and women, will not be home for Christmas. More than 100,000 others who are contractors serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, some of them mercenaries, will not be home for Christmas this year. And as things are going, most of those people won't be home for Christmas next year either. And it's a sorry spectacle to see that over a year after Democrats won control, and just shy of a year since they took control, they have been unable, and yes, unwilling, to fully confront the Bush administration and shut down the occupation of Iraq. And Democrats are deeply complicit in this sordid picture. Nancy Lesson from Military Families Speaks Out joins us today. Nancy, nice to talk with you again. Welcome to the program.
It's great to be back, Peter.
And Nancy, I did just restate the obvious, but I think it's important to point out, because a lot of people are swept up in the hustle and bustle of the holidays, and they've been told that the way to show their patriotism is to shop. And I am really very frustrated and deeply concerned that despite the election cycle that is, unrolling before us for 2008, that the Bush administration has succeeded in changing the perception of most Americans that the war and the occupation are not as bad as they were. And they're even spinning for the consumption of some that the surge is working and that things are getting better. And this presents a difficult choice because I'm sure, like me, you take no pleasure in looking at the reduced American casualties, the pattern over the last 3 months that is clear from the data that we get, and say, well, but listen, don't be lulled into complacency. Don't buy the spin and the hype and the propaganda, because that's what they want you to do. And in fact, what we have is a concocted situation where ethnic cleansing has reduced the violence between Sunni and Shia because they're living in armed compounds separate from one another. That the Mahdi army, controlled by Muqtada al-Sadr, has unilaterally stood down, in my view, waiting for the U.S. to pull out so that they can go back to the Civil War. And so those are just a couple of examples, but the media is complicit in this, and we see Democratic candidates who are now downplaying the war as the central issue in the early caucus and primary states, and I'm very troubled by this. So I've been talking for a bit here. Tell me what you think.
There's going to be a lot of empty seats at holiday tables for military and Gold Star families, and, you know, Congress is rushing through this budget deal, which will end up giving George Bush what he wants to continue the war in Iraq. And Congress is, again, going to be absolutely, as you said, complicit in permitting an illegal, immoral war to continue unchecked. And, the Democratic leadership continued to buy this war, and they own it lock, stock, and barrel. And, you know, you're absolutely right when you talk about the violence being down, but having to do a lot more with situations having to do with the Iraqis than having to do with anything that the U.S. is doing or not doing. And it's really hard if you're a military family to hear people say, well, you know, only one U.S. troop is dying each day.
Yeah.
That may be fine if that troop isn't, you know, your loved one,
right,
but it's really not fine. And to look at, well, it had been two or three a day, and now it's one a day, it's not acceptable, because this is a war based on lies, and one death is one death too many. And it also doesn't look at the over, you know, a million Iraqi children, women, and men who have been killed and are continuing to be killed, and You know, there really is an answer here.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is that Congress needs to use its power of the purse and end the funding that allows the war to continue. And all we need is one branch. It doesn't even have to be both of them. One branch, 50% plus one, saying we're not going to allow funding for the war and stick to their guns.
Well, it's actually
that could, you know, produce the perhaps a constitutional crisis that mm-hmm. Needs to happen if the president says I want to continue the war and the Congress says we won't fund it.
Well, it did appear that David Obie was on the right tack and track, Nancy Lesson, because he said that he wasn't going to appropriate more than $25 billion. Now, I'd like to see him say zero, but the fact is that appropriation bills must originate in the House of Representatives, and the Senate cannot write its own out of whole cloth. They have to, you know, react to the version that comes from the House. And so Pelosi and Obie could very quickly and very effectively say no more. This is it. But they're
not doing that. And
I agree.
You're absolutely right that they could. And the House version of this budget deal, as I understand it, is going to have $31 billion that's earmarked for some equipment that the troops should have had 5 years ago, and also for what's happening in Afghanistan, but no monies for Iraq. But the deal is that the Senate is going to add the monies that President Bush wants for the war in Iraq, and then how this is all going to come out is Nancy Pelosi and some others are going to vote against the deal, but because of the combination of Democrats and Republicans who will vote for it, it's a done deal.
Right.
And Nancy Pelosi will say, oh, look, I voted against the money, but she helped craft this deal, and we absolutely feel that she, along with all of the others who had any hand in crafting this, are betraying our troops, their families, this nation, and the people of Iraq.
Nancy Lesson with us from Military Families Speak Out. Their website is simple, MFSO, Military Families Speak Out, MFSO.org. Now, Nancy, you may have been on other progressive talk shows where they kind of pull punches and protect the Democrats. I think it's pretty clear here we don't do that. And I want to ask,
we're very happy because we don't think anyone should be protected if they're part of allowing an illegal, immoral war to continue.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, and you know, be as blunt and direct as you care to be. Because when I look at the situation, I see the Democrats compromised by their fear of being propagandized by the Republicans, being accused of not supporting the troops. And they have played into that repeatedly by using the language and framing and ignoring the fine advice of George Lakoff, because they keep using the same terms and concepts as the Bush administration and wonder why they can't change the agenda. And on the other hand, I see the outlines of a really cynical political calculation. And that is, you made the comment that this is the Democrats' war. But they repeatedly say that this is Bush's war and that this is the Republicans' war. And I believe that their calculation is that come next November, that if they do nothing, the Republicans will be defeated and implode as long as they are seen as the, holding the paternity to this mess in Iraq, and presumably Afghanistan will be in no better shape than it is now either. And so when you look at those, they're both really ugly. Cowardice or the kind of really cynical political calculation that says, so what if another 100 or 500 American troops, and so what if another 10,000 Iraqis die? What's really important is who wins the next election.
And I think we see things very, very similar to that there is a lot of cowardice. And from the very beginning, when, you know, George Bush started saying support the troops, meaning support the war, they weren't able to really go after that one and say, you know, what we said, which was real support of the troops means you don't enter into an unjustifiable and reckless military misadventure. And once the war started, real support for the troops is ending the war and bringing them home. Now what's happening is that the Bush administration crafted the funding argument to be, oh, we need funding for the troops, when in fact it's funding for the war. And Democrats have fallen into that all over the place. Oh, we wouldn't not fund the troops. And so what we say is, you know, please fund our troops, fund their safe and quick and orderly withdrawal from Iraq, and fund everything that they need in terms of care when they get home. And that's real funding for the troops. But in fact, funding for the war, that's killing our troops.
And Nancy, you mentioned we've seen this going back to 2004, where it's identified that the Bush administration, due to improper planning and really wrong expectations, was seriously underprepared and underequipped for this lengthy occupation. And so they've been, you know, trying to catch up by sending vests and hardening Humvees, and now it's the MRAPs. These are vehicles that are a little bit more mobile than a tank, but they're hardened, and they are designed to deflect these IEDs that have been killing a lot of mobile American troops in Iraq. And the point I make is that the Democrats should agree to fund MRAPs only to the extent that they are delivered to Baghdad with GPS devices routing to either Basra or Kuwait City.
Exactly.
And they're there to safely remove our troops from a civil war zone, and not as a way of continuing the occupation and giving a slightly greater margin of safety to our troops in harm's way.
And that's exactly what Congress could do. They could make a budget, they could craft a budget that says exactly that, that there will be full funding for a safe and orderly withdrawal with all of the equipment and supplies that are needed to bring all of our troops back to their home duty stations, and then we'll add the care that they need when they get there because of the tremendous physical and psychological injury and damage that's been done by extended and multiple deployments and all of that. But that's exactly what they could do. They're choosing not to do it. And I want to go back to one of your earlier points. A lot that we see is that politicians are all focused on the election in 2008. I'll take up your cynical piece that we do see those who are willing to allow the war to continue badly try to keep blaming it on the current administration and hope that that ends up with, you know, their victory or victory for their party or friends. And in the meantime, each day there are more deaths of U.S. troops, many more deaths of Iraqi children, women, and men. It's totally unacceptable. And at this point, we really think that the movement opposing this war needs to grow and become more vocal. It's never been a politician who's ended a war. It's always been a social movement. And it's wonderful to see the poll numbers saying more and more people in this country are opposing the war. I think our focus is to try to get those people now active in doing something to express their opposition.
We're going to take a break and return with more with Nancy Lesson from Military Families Speak Out. If you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. Lines are open, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Tinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Central Coast, with hot new games, books, a huge selection of toys, and a friendly, knowledgeable staff at two great stores. Kids and parents love Tinker Toys. Make this holiday season your family's best ever by letting Tinker Toys help you choose the ideal gift for the children in your life. Avoid the last-minute rush and stop by Tinker Toys today. Open daily. Tinker Toys is in the Del Monte Center and in downtown Carmel.
All right, you want a little traffic, we got it for you. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on right now. In the area of Gilroy, southbound 101 before 10th Street and Pacheco Pass, got a van and a pickup truck on the right shoulder involved in a crash. Then we're going to talk a little about Aromas. Cole Road at 101, believe it or not, we have a grass fire reported into the roadway. Fire department is en route to the scene there. We also want to take a look at, Ben Lomond, northbound 9 between Middle Road and Western. A left lane closed for roadway rehabilitation, I love that word, until February 29th. And slow traffic, let's go to eastbound 25, pockets of slow-and-go traffic out of Gilroy into Hollister. And southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel looking pretty good at this point. And nothing to get too concerned there. I'm going to let you know that this report is brought to you by Craig at Auto Parts. You say you're looking for fun on two wheels?
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm talking with Nancy Lesson from Military Families Speak Out.
Imagine there's no heaven. If you try, no hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living.
That's my man, Kev Moe. We continue now with Nancy Lesson. And, Nancy, the Nation magazine here at year-end published a cover story written by Tom Hayden, who, of course, was one of the Chicago Seven, helped lead the protests at the 68 Democratic Convention there, and went on to become a state senator here in California. And he has put out a kind of blueprint for civic action, grassroots action, political action, to try to bring the occupation to an end during the next calendar year. I don't know if you've seen that, but what's on your planning agenda, and how do you think those of us who really want to see this end should be focusing our energies?
I mean, there's many things going on. Military Families Speak Out is looking at massing a bunch of our families in Washington, D.C. when Congress comes back in mid-January 2008 to start a new campaign of ours that's called The Real Emergency, because what's happening right now is Congress has talked about, you know, emergency funding for this and emergency something for that, and we're saying the real emergency is continuation of an illegal, immoral, unjustifiable war in Iraq, a U.S. military occupation of Iraq, and that is the real emergency, and that's what needs your attention. And having families there, Gold Star families, military families who have loved ones over there, or sometimes now. We have families whose loved ones are redeployed for fourth and fifth times to a war based on lot, and have them, you know, meet with groups, politicians, but also do some demonstrations and press conferences to talk about what we call the ground truth of this war, what's really happening, what's happening with our loved ones, what's happening with their families, what's happening in Iraq from our perspective, and what needs to happen. And so that would be a campaign in Washington, D.C., but we have now over 30 chapters around the country, so they will be doing companion activities in regions across the country. Our focus is still on Congress and trying to move Congress to do the right thing. In the meantime, there are other activities going on. We work very closely with organizations, including Iraq Veterans Against the War, mm-hmm. Veterans for Peace, Vietnam Veterans Against the War, Appeal for Redress, which is a campaign for active duty troops who are calling for an end to the war. And so there's some activities that are these organizations are going to be involved in that we'll be helping with. But I think day-to-day, what we do, because we're all over the country in big cities, small towns, and on military bases, is to speak out in our neighborhoods. And that could be, you know, in a union hall or a church basement or a community college, mm-hmm. and really talk about what this war is meaning very personally, and motivate people who don't have that close connection, but who can, you know, understand what it means to actually go from being opposed to the war to take some action to end it. Right. And I think throughout the country, we're really focused on doing that. It's going to be a very difficult march this coming year. If the war is continuing, it'll be, you know, yet another year. The bombs first dropped, as you know, on March 19th, 2003. Yep. And to have to go through yet another commemoration of that horrific day is going to be very difficult.
Somebody passed around an email last week with a photograph of a protester holding a sign that says, "I can't believe I'm still fricking protesting this war."
Right.
It is shocking that it's gone on this long. Nicholas in Sacramento, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Nancy Lesson.
Yes, Mr. Peter B. and Miss Nancy there. I called before, Mr. Collins there,
yes, sir,
regarding the Darfur thing a few weeks ago.
I remember.
And I just wanted, I'm an ex-United Nations worker. As a matter of fact, I was stationed in Iraq itself in the early 70s, late 60s. And I'm very familiar with the country. Just wanted to mention on that surge, too, they've been emphasizing a lot of success and so forth. The only success that I can see is reduction in the United States troops in the field that have been killed, you know, by terrorist bombs and roadside bombs.
Mm-hmm.
There is quite a bit of Iraqis, of course, are still killed. I did hear your point, which is true, about the Mahdi army setting aside, you know, laying down their arms,
right,
and most probably waiting for a better chance so mm-hmm. they wouldn't...
Well, and just today, the British are turning over control of the southern region, Basra, to the Iraqi army,
yes,
and it was just last week that we saw Shia-on-Shia violence there.
That's,
as the British looked on.
That, by the way,
yeah,
that it is Shia-Shia and Sunni-Sunni.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of infighting. But another point I was going to say, the effects of the surge and the war so far, in addition to what's happening and all the mess, the neighborhoods of Baghdad have been building separation walls.
Right.
There are checkpoints in there, and people are referring to themselves as prisoners in their own homes,
yeah,
let alone their own country.
Kind of like Warsaw, about 1939.
Right.
Nicholas, I'm sorry, our time is running short here.
That's about
but
it. And
thank you.
The city of Kirkuk has been lately on the news on more reverse cleansing. There's more troubles outside of Baghdad also.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you for your comment, Nicholas.
Thank
you. Nancy Lesson, thank you for your work at Military Families Speak Out. I want our listeners to stay in touch with you at mfso.org.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll talk again. Nancy Lesson, appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
The superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Fidel Castro, in a letter read on Cuban television, says he doesn't want to hang on to power or stand in the way of younger leaders. What does this mean?
I don't think he's referring to retirement in this letter.
Portia Siegelbaum, CBS News reporter based in Havana, notes that the message was tacked onto a commentary about the World Environmental Conference in Bali.
We might ask the question of why does he say this at this time, at the end of this letter, on a totally different subject. But I think he's been preparing people to go on without him ever since he fell seriously ill in July 2006. And he's written letters ever since then saying, you know, his recovery is not without its risks and people have to be prepared to go on.
Castro is 80 now. He hasn't been seen in public except for brief video recordings for 16 months. There are just 7 shopping days till Christmas, and they've turned out to be the 7 crucial days for stores, which so far have seen a lot less traffic than they'd hoped. CBS's Karen Regal reports.
Red's not good when it comes to money. Retailers want green, and lots of it. But shoppers just haven't been out. Some stores are going to try staying open 24/7 to lure those shoppers. Macy's one of them. Britt Beamer with America's Research Group says that's not what shoppers want.
The number one complaint about retailers right now is the lack of sales help, and Macy's is the number one store where they've complained about lack of sales help. So if they spread those employees from 12 hours over 24 hours over a few days around the country, they're going to find a lot of customers pretty mad.
Look for the big guns to be rolled out before Christmas. Discounts. Karen Regal, CBS News.
Gasoline and home heating fuels are competing for the consumer dollar, and so is food. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers reports on sticker shock at the supermarket.
Bacon is up 22 cents over last year. White bread is up a dime. Cheddar cheese is up 48 cents. Eggs are up 51 cents a dozen. And the big killer is milk. It's up 90 cents a gallon over this time last year.
High energy prices have raised the cost of fertilizer, operating farm equipment, and bringing food to market. And the demand for ethanol as an alternative fuel has raised the price of corn. New Jersey has become the first state in more than 4 decades to do away with the death penalty. Governor John Corzine signed the bill at a ceremony in Trenton.
Today, through my signature on this bill, New Jersey abolishes the death penalty as a policy of our state. The people of New Jersey, I sign this legislation with pride.
The sentences of 8 men on death row have been commuted to life without parole. Some of their victims' relatives are outraged. Sharon Hazard Johnson, whose parents were murdered 6 years ago, says justice should have been served. On Wall Street, a bad day. The Dow Industrial's down 174 points to 13,165. The Nasdaq took a big hit, down 61 points to 2574. That's a loss of more than 2%. This is CBS News.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So the clock is ticking, but you can't nail down a gift idea? I can fix that. Because the entire stock of hand tools, power tools, and tool storage is on sale at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. Now remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. Not to hammer home a point, but a tool sale this good only happens at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. So don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
The debate in Congress is as partisan as ever, but when members of the House stop for lunch, it's not business as usual anymore. CBS News correspondent John Harchi has the story.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat from San Francisco, has begun a Green the Capitol program, friendly to the environment and the stomach.
RGBH-free milk, cage-free shell eggs.
There's a new green organic menu at the eateries of the House of Representatives.
Roasted chicken with fire-roasted tomatoes and goat cheese, cedar plank wild salmon with apple cilantro relish.
Gina Zimmer is with Restaurant Associates, the new caterer on the Capitol's House side.
This is going to be the greenest cafeteria in the United States.
That means biodegradable plates and utensils.
No styrofoam whatsoever.
John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
Have you ever Googled yourself? A survey from the Pew Internet and American Life Project found that 47% of adults online have looked up information about themselves, and 53% admit to Googling others, including friends, relatives, and neighbors. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Happy Honda Day!
May I help you?
Greetings. I had my eye on this nice big Odyssey, and this Civic sure is a looker. Oh, and the Accord, it's all new, isn't it?
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
Oh, what the heck? I'll take all of them.
You want every Honda in our showroom?
Do you think I can fit them in this large red bag?
All right, is this a joke? Am I on a hidden camera or something?
Attention, there's a reindeer parked outside with its nose light on.
I'll be right back.
Happy Honda Days ends January 2nd.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So you're down to the wire, but you still want to pull off the perfect gift. Pull over instead. I'm talking sweaters, folks. Get 50 to 60% off at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. And remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. So bundle up and save a bundle at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. And don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
So, you getting into the holiday spirit? Duck.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Oh, there it is. That's the worldwide Christmas hit that has sold millions and millions of copies. In fact, there was some Danny DeVito movie on last night, and Dr. Elmo's song came blaring out of some speakers there. And Dr. Elmo will be here on Wednesday this week at this time, between 5 and 6 Pacific time. He'll be in the free speech zone. He's bringing his guitar, and he'll be tuning up and belting out songs like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. So I hope you'll mention that to the kids of all ages who populate your area, and make sure they're listening. And Dr. Elmo will be taking your calls when he's here on Wednesday, too. And then for our Christmas Eve special, we will replay that hour with Dr. Elmo, along with 2 hours of holiday music from the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives. And just a programming note, next week and on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, you'll be hearing the best of Peter B. Collins if you tune in. That's the euphemism for reruns, so that Katrina and Brian and I can get a little downtime here at the holidays and get recharged so that we can hit the ground running in the new year. So I hope you will be able to catch up with some of the shows you might have missed, or turn your friends on to ones that you thought were especially interesting. We're ready for the Free Speed Zone today, 888-5-PETER-B. And somewhere along the line this hour, Katrina is going to arbitrarily select one caller to the free speech zone to receive a copy of the Bad President calendar that counts down the days to Bush's departure in January of 2009. And this is a comfort item and a collector's item. So feel free to share your opinions. And like I say, Katrina will arbitrarily select one of you to receive a calendar this hour. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Well, I am amused and I'm outraged. I'm amused that two losers think that an endorsement will make a difference. What am I talking about? Joe Lieberman has announced he is endorsing John McCain for president. Now, this speaks volumes about both guys. Now, sure, Lieberman has been in the Senate a long time. He's got a lot of buddies. But for me, it's unforgivable that he left the Democratic Party only to save his own ass, because Ned Lamont beat him fair and square in the Democratic primary in Connecticut in the summer of 2006. And Joe Lieberman responded by bolting the party and taking advantage of a very weak Republican in that Senate race, and he held on to his seat. He has continued to distinguish himself by voting with the Republicans on all of the stinky legislation that comes out of the Senate. And so I think those two guys deserve each other. I was never, you know, taken with John McCain and the straight talk and the maverick image and all that stuff. He's a down-the-line diehard conservative. And when we were on the air in Phoenix, we learned a lot from Arizona listeners about his wife's beer fortune and the way he operates as a fairly arrogant senior senator. So, Joe, Johnny, you deserve each other, and I don't think it'll do McCain any good, and it simply tells us more about who Joe Lieberman really is. What I am outraged at is the 76-10 vote in the United States Senate, acceding to Bush's demand for immunity for telephone companies that participated in the illegal domestic spying program. 76-10. I'm working to get the list of how they voted. It's up on, we'll get it up here on the web here in just a second and take a look at it. But this is a dark day, friends. This takes us back to early August of this year when Nancy Pelosi inexplicably allowed the Protect America Act to go to the floor and it passed. And she won one concession on that obscene piece of legislation which legalizes the illegal activities under the FISA law that the Bush administration has engaged in. And Pelosi and others thought, well, we'll put a six-month time limit on this and then we'll fix it this fall. Well, fix it they didn't. And we are getting fixed and we're getting screwed. And this is such a major step back from our constitutional rights that I find it very hard to take. So I have the list here, and there are 100 of them, so let me work my way through it. And, great, here are the people who voted yes on this rollback of our constitutional rights. Let's just, we'll just list the Democrats or the people who have a D behind their name, even if we don't think they deserve it. Akaka of Hawaii, Baucus of Montana, Bai of Indiana, Bingaman of New Mexico, Byrd of West Virginia. He's so old, he should know better. Carper, Delaware, Casey, Pennsylvania. Casey was the conservative Democrat that Chuck Schumer forced on the voters of Pennsylvania instead of a great progressive named Pinocchio. On down the list here, oh, this is so distressing. Conrad of North Dakota, Dorgan of North Dakota. Durbin voted for this crap? Oh, God, I thought he was smarter than that. Feinstein of California, from the Lieberman wing, the Democratic Party. Inouye of Hawaii. Johnson of South Dakota. Gosh, I'm sorry you got well so fast. Ted Kennedy? Oh, God. Klobuchar of Minnesota. Cole of Wisconsin. Landrieu. Leahy of Vermont? Levin of Michigan? This is so distressing. These sellouts, Mikulski of Maryland, Murray of Washington, Nelson of Florida, Reed of Rhode Island, Reed of Nevada, Rockefeller, chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Salazar of Colorado, one of those newbies, Schumer of New York, Stabenow of Michigan, it's almost over, Tester, one of the new boys from Montana, I'm surprised at him, Webb of Virginia, and Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island. That's the wall of shame, friends. Those are the Democrats who voted to deny you your constitutional right of probable cause before the government taps your phone calls and intercepts your emails. Here are the heroes, the Democrats who voted against it. Boxer, Sherrod Brown of Ohio, Cantwell of Washington, Cardin of Maryland, Dodd of Connecticut, Feingold of Wisconsin, Harkin of Iowa, Kerry of Massachusetts, Menendez of New Jersey, and Ron Wyden of Oregon. Bernie Sanders was in the not voting category along with all of the presidential candidates, I think, just about all of them. Well, except for Dodd. Dodd went back for the vote. Boy. I mean, I was bummed when I saw the numbers, and now I see these people, and Dick Durbin, why would you ever vote for this? You're in a very safe seat. Oh, that's a real, real burn. Let's see who's online, too, here, holding over from last hour, and thanks for hanging on. George in Sacramento, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter B.
Hi.
I just think that the Democrats have a Trojan horse, I guess, the Democratic Leadership Council and in the Senate, and I don't know, it's in the, and Rahm Emanuel, I guess, he's kind of the head of that in the
In the House, yeah. The DLC is the conservative part of the Democratic Party, the Democratic Leadership Council. It's what brought us Bill Clinton. Hillary is a firm member, and most of those Democrats I mentioned, like Evan Bayh, they consider themselves DLC Democrats.
And Nancy Pelosi, too, she's very in with the, I guess, the Israel lobby and the AIPAC, too. I read she knows all the words to the Israel national anthem.
Well, that's not terribly relevant, sir. But her, you know, your point about AIPAC is very well taken. They have way too much influence in both parties in Washington, and we do believe that in April of this year, language was pulled from the supplemental authorization bill for Iraq that ultimately didn't pass. But the language was pulled that would have required a congressional vote before the administration could attack Iran. And it was pulled shortly after AIPAC held its spring conference, and most of the Democrats paraded over there to speak to them and get blessed with campaign contributions.
I see.
So it's an ugly specter, and if you read the book, The Israel Lobby, they draw some very interesting connections by showing the overlap in supporters of AIPAC and PNAC. And many listeners to this program know that PNAC was the Project for a New American Century, which essentially created the blueprint for this mess that they considered the messianic approach to imposing democracy on a part of the world that doesn't really want it. Thanks for your call. Nice to talk to you, George. To Joe in Brookings, Oregon, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, well, that would be my guess that most American Jews do not support the positions of AIPAC. So, you know, I don't think AIPAC represents most Jewish people anyway.
Well, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and by the way, before I go on to my main topic, I want to wish Cynthia McKinney, who I think recently moved to the Bay Area, a very, very merry green Christmas.
Where do you know where she is? I'd love to get her on the show.
I've heard
she's thinking of running
the website for the Green Party.
Yeah, because I
get it that way.
All right, I've heard she's thinking about being the Green presidential candidate.
She's already in the race.
And
that leads me into talking about the media and about these idiots making a big deal about these newspapers supporting Hillary and John McCain and about Joe Lieberman supporting John McCain. How Joe Lieberman has crossed party lines whoop-de-doo, to support John McCain. You know, Joe Lieberman, when it's convenient to call himself a Democrat, he calls himself a Democrat. When it's convenient to call himself an independent, he calls himself an independent. Sooner or later, when it's convenient to call himself a Republican, well, guess what? Well, wouldn't you know, speaking of the media, I was watching your old buddy Chris Matthews today.
Mm-hmm.
He's interviewing Ralph Nader. He doesn't even mention Cynthia McKinney's name,
mm-hmm.
which is absolutely ridiculous. She's a former congresswoman,
right,
running for president on the Green Party ticket. Certainly the mainstream media paid a lot of attention to her 5 years ago when she had her problems, and guys like James Carville and Paul Begala did everything they could do to help get her kicked out of office when they were in crossfire. They practically did a celebration on TV when they succeeded. I mean, this is so asinine.
All right, Joe, got to run to a break. Thank you for your passion, and I appreciate your call today. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open for you in the free speech zone this hour. I'd like to hear from you. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
From Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
All right, folks, let's take a look at a little traffic. And we're going to start off in San Juan Bautista. San Juan Canyon Road at Mission Vineyard. Animals on the roadway. Two cows walking in the lanes, having a good time, probably talking about what they want for Christmas. Salinas, disabled vehicle, eastbound John Street, the on-ramp to southbound 1. It's a vehicle jump-starting another car, and it's partially blocking the ramp, so it ends up there. Out of wonderful Castroville, northbound one at Molera, we do have the off-ramp blocked there because of a stall. Also want to take a look at eastbound 25, slows out of Gilroy into Hollister, eastbound southbound one for a slow-and-go out of Monterey and Carmel. This report brought to you by Seltzer Blue. Seltzer Blue is doctor-recommended to eliminate flakes and itch and contains aloe and moisturizers to keep your hair and scalp healthy. Never wear black without the blue. That is Seltzer Blue. That's traffic on KRXA.
What the hell's wrong with the Democrats? Can somebody explain that to me? Senate Democrats gave Bush a veto-proof margin on rolling back our civil rights and legalizing the illegal wiretapping of Americans' emails and telephone calls? What the hell is up? I really don't understand. Do the Democrats not recognize the urgency of this? Don't they see that their phone calls and their emails could be intercepted for political reasons? Maybe it's happened already. I am I'm very much upset by this. 888-5-PETER-B, tell me what you think, and if you have a way of explaining how these alleged Democrats could find it, you know, meaningful to vote for this piece of crap, I would appreciate an explanation. Julie in Sacramento, you're next here on the PBC show.
Hi, Peter Bean.
Hi.
I can't explain it. I wish I could. There must be somehow, maybe their children are being held hostage or something, because I don't think that I would do something like that unless my family was being threatened in some way.
I mean, what they are essentially doing is throwing in the towel. They're saying that Bush was right to spy on Americans. He was right to openly violate the FISA law to launch this program. They're papering over what we now know that the New York Times expanded on over the weekend, which is that they approached phone companies in the spring of 2001. This spying on Americans was not driven by 9/11. That's a pretext. That's an excuse after the fact. But Quest in Denver refused to participate in this, Julie. Their CEO is now behind bars under a case of insider trading that I can't honestly evaluate whether there's any merit to it or not. But it sure seems more than coincidental that the only CEO of a phone company who refused to collaborate with the Bush administration is in jail.
I can't believe
and
it.
What the Times added to the story over the weekend, it was co-authored by James Risen, who helped write the first story about the NSA program that the Times sat on for a year. Mm-hmm. What they told us was that the demand of Quest was that they open up local exchanges. The government was demanding access to local-to-local calling. Now, Quest is based in Denver. Has there been any speculation whatsoever that Osama bin Laden is in the Rocky Mountains instead of the mountains of North Waziristan?
I think they got their mountain ranges mixed up.
Well,
I think we need a new constitution. Something that, because defending this constitution just seems like, you know, we need to give up on the defending this constitution.
Well, I don't agree with that, Julie. I think we have a pretty good constitution if it's properly used. It's the operators that we have to look at. The guys who are driving the Zamboni machine here are covering over the marks on the ice. I don't know where to go with that metaphor.
Well, thanks, Peter B.
All right, Julie, I appreciate the call.
Uh-huh.
Julie.
Uh-huh.
Katrina decided that you need the Bush calendar, the bad president calendar. So can you hold on? She'll get your address, and we'll mail one to you, okay?
Thank you.
Great. 888-5, Peter B. Now to Mark in Fresno. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, Peter. This is Mark Maxby. I'm the owner of Organic Pastures Dairy. We do raw milk here in California.
Uh-huh.
I understand there was raw milk was discussed in your show just a little while ago. Is that correct?
No, not today.
Oh, okay. I thought it was discussed. Somebody called in and said that it had been discussed, I guess, last week or something.
No, I haven't talked about it in any, not that I know of.
Okay. So. Well, I just wanted to bring you up to date that there's a major infringement on people's consumer rights that's happening. As we speak, there's AB 1735 was passed into law this year. And it basically is a backdoor, kind of a Trojan horse, silent, you know, sneak attack against the ability for California citizens to access fresh raw milk that they've always had access to.
Mark, I'm up against a break here.
Sure.
I'd welcome if you want to email some info to Peter at peterbcollins.com. I'd like to learn more about it. Maybe we can talk further with you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, good. More calls coming up.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Holy sellout, Batman. What the frick are the Democrats doing to us now? I mean, even in Gotham City, they didn't have widespread wiretapping in violation of the law. And ladies and gentlemen, I rarely am left this flummoxed, and I'm not quite speechless, but I am sputtering a little bit, and I apologize for that. But when you look cumulatively at the way the Democrats have caved in, sold out, and cynically left us to question what their intentions are and whether they read the Constitution the same way you and I do, it's mind-boggling. I mean, just look at the last couple of months where Schumer and Feinstein provided the final votes that gave us a racist lifetime appointment to the federal bench and the confirmation of Michael Mukasey as the new attorney general, who over the weekend moved to block a congressional investigation into the CIA torture tapes for what appear to be purely political reasons. And here the Democrats had an opportunity. They did not have to pass this legislation. And they provided Bush with a veto-proof margin on the bill that seals forever our efforts as citizens to crack open the spying on Americans that they repeatedly lock up with a state secret privilege argument. And by immunizing the phone companies, we are sending the message that these Democrats condone the law-breaking of the Bush administration and the complicity of the phone companies, many of whom profited from it, because in addition to opening up their switches and letting the government monitor our traffic, they sold lists. They sold data of your phone call patterns to the government. Isn't that a neat way to do it so you don't have to have a subpoena and deal with the law? You just sell it to the government like a telemarketing list, like the do not call list, which is managed by AT&T. I just have to say that this is a major setback for me, and it makes me question our so-called leaders in the Democratic Party. I'm just disgusted. Pat in Trinidad, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I love the show. I, too, am totally disgusted. I've been a Democrat all my life. I'm come from a family at least 5 generations of Democrats, and I'm done. This does it for me. I just don't understand what's going on. You know, we're all supposed to be good little Nazis now and do whatever the government tells us to, like the phone companies did. I can't take it anymore.
Well, and it really puts me in a pickle here like you, Pat, because, you know, I'm angry at the Democrats. I want to do something about it. I certainly am not going to send them any money. for their campaigns in this coming cycle.
Nor am I.
But they've got us boxed in. I mean, we certainly can't support Republicans in the coming cycle.
No, but I can't support them either. I can't, at this point, I can't support the Democrats either. How many supported this?
Too many.
Yeah. this is not my Democratic Party.
There's 76 total yes votes, and I haven't, let me see if there's a breakdown here by party. No, I'm sorry, I don't have that data yet.
I'll tell you right now, they're not my party anymore, and it's not my country anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I had young kids, I'd leave.
Where would you go?
I don't know. Maybe Europe?
Mm-hmm. Well, the dollar sucks, so...
I know it does. I was in Peru, and they didn't even want to take dollars down there.
Yeah, send your currency over first.
They prefer euros.
Yeah. All right, Pat, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
Henry calls from Los Angeles. Welcome, Henry. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
That's about the best thing I can say.
Well, I accept that, and of course, so does Benny over at the NSA, who gets to monitor our calls every
day.
Yes,
definitely. This thing has me so flummoxed, just like you. I guess what I keep thinking, though, long-term, I look at what George Bush has done, even worse than all the, you know, destruction, the economy, the war, and all this stuff that he's done. The long-term effect is the Supreme Court that he's appointed. And if we put another Republican in there, it's going to be even worse because I think we have a couple of other Supreme Court justices who may be retiring within the next 4 to 8 years. And that is the thing that scares me even more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we need more Alitos and Roberts up there, don't we?
Oh, yeah. That's just what we need. More of that to take away even more of our rights.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've discovered what the chemical belt that was supposed to be around Baghdad. It must be the Beltway. Because it seems like you spend any time inside that area, and especially if you're a Democrat, you become coward.
Well, I can't explain it. I mean, I'm not dismissing what you said there, sir, but, you know, this goes beyond a beltway mentality.
It does.
And this just shows a kind of ignorance and a contempt for us, the electorate, the progressive electorate, that is very hard to stomach.
It is. It is, and I'm sick to my stomach about it myself.
Yeah. Thank you, Henry.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
Just a minor clarification here. I want to be very clear. We're talking about the roll call vote that occurred in the Senate today, and it was on the cloture motion, which was a motion to end debate, to consider the bill which amends the FISA Act. And that bill is Senate Bill 2248. So I do want to be clear that while some of these senators that I'm dissing today, like Durbin of Illinois, may ultimately end up voting against the underlying bill, they are enablers. They are facilitators who, instead of standing and supporting a filibuster that was threatened by Chris Dodd and Russ Feingold, they caved. Oh, it's Christmas time. We wouldn't want to have a long debate, would we? Well, I'm sorry. This is just, it's so wrong and so dangerous that it is so hard to imagine that the Democrats would so easily give up their right to debate this issue, their right to filibuster it. Alice in Sacramento, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I was going to say I'm not very happy about the voting either, and periodically I suggest that we need a real progressive party because the Democrats, too many of them, are no longer progressive. All we have in the Democratic Party, or we had 76 of them according to you, were in the Republican branch of the Democratic Party.
Well, it's a total of 76 votes, so many of those are Republicans. Okay.
Well, we have roughly half and half, so we must have had at least 26 Democrats, or it wouldn't have gone the way it did.
Yeah, it's in that range. There were 10 who opposed it and 14 not voting.
Well, the Democrats seem to think that we don't have any place else to go to vote, but we do need a third party, maybe not for this election, but we sure do for the future, because the Democrats aren't representing the vast majority of the middle class. They're wiping us out.
Yeah. Well, it's really tough because, Alice, I'm attracted to the idea of a third party in this country for various reasons. The Greens have the most traction and, I believe, the broadest appeal of the minor parties. I don't see the Libertarians really growing in a significant way. And likewise, the Ross Perot Reform Party appears to be pretty much dead. There were plans discussed through the 90s by progressives to form a labor party in this country. And the biggest downside is that the two-party structure is so embedded in our system that they've erected huge barriers to the ascendance of a third party.
Now, I understand that, but there must be a way to undo that.
Well, it's tricky because it would take support from Democrats and or Republicans in order to change the rules either at the state level that prevent third parties from getting on the ballot or on the federal level. So, I'm really intrigued by the idea, and on a day like today, you know, I want to go as far as I can with it. But we saw, even with Ross Perot's money, and the name ID that he was able to develop in 92 and to a lesser extent in 96, you know, he didn't win one electoral vote. He won a percentage of the popular vote, but he didn't win a single electoral vote. And
well, what disturbs me is we don't have a party that represents the middle class, period. The mm-hmm. Democrats don't represent us and the Republicans don't represent us. They want to take us back to the Republicans, and some of the Democrats want to take us back to the 1920s prior to FDR. That's what's frustrating, and I'm old enough to remember the Depression. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a lot of people aren't.
Yeah. Alice, you want to add anything else?
Nope.
Thank you for your call.
Okay.
Delighted to hear from you in Sacramento today. John in Carmel Valley, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
A neighbor loaned me a book by Jimmy Carter that I didn't know anything about, and I was poking around in it last night, and it's called, he published it in 97, and it's called Sources of Strength, Meditations on Scripture for a Living Faith. And I knew he was religious, but
right.
This book more than confirms it. And he has a way of, he's almost more frank than I think he should be in some areas. He tells about, he has a chapter on forgiveness, and he tells about a staff member back when he was running against Reagan and the debates were coming up. And the staff member passed on his notes for how he was going to conduct the debate. It involved all his strategies and his ideas about how he would take on Reagan. So the Reagan campaign had this material when he came up to face the debates, and he felt it was not only a terrible betrayal, but really put him in a grave disadvantage. And he already had a terrible economy and a bunch, you know, in the hostage situation, so it didn't help at all. But the reason he put it in there apparently was he couldn't forgive this guy. And one day, he talks a lot about he's been a Sunday school teacher for eons.
Right. Right there in Plains.
And he did it while he was president.
Yes, he did. Uh-huh.
And so he tells how when he was facing the issue of forgiveness at his Sunday school lesson, he suddenly realized that, my God, I'm a hypocrite on this issue, so he finally figured out a strategy that said sort of got him halfway there. But the book, one of the things I want to bring up with you about this is, remember that we did discuss long back that black preacher from Oklahoma, Carlton Pearson, who believes in a Christianity where all are automatically saved, but I think he calls it inclusive Christianity.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mentioned him to you, and if you can get him on, and I think he's spending some of his time now in San Francisco, so mm-hmm. I don't think he's exclusively in Tulsa anymore.
Right.
And the reason this fascinates me is I hope I finally sit down and write Jimmy Carter a letter, because when he gets to the issue of how one gets saved, he is classic Baptist, I realized, because I've been asking myself, how does he stay a Baptist, given how so much of the Baptists have gone over to Bush and ultra-right-wing thinking? And the answer, I think, is in his theology. He just absolutely subscribes to St. Paul's doctrine of justification. And the issue I'd bring up with him and love to bring up with Carlton Pearson, who I think has solved the problem, is if you say to people that you must accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are telling the Jews, the Islamists, the Hindus, the Buddhists, and probably three-quarters of the human race, you're not saved, and you can't be saved. And no matter how nicely you package that and talk about God's love, it certainly doesn't come across that way to them. It's extremely divisive, and it's probably the principal problem of Christianity, especially fundamentalist Christianity.
Very interesting. Hey, John, I suggest you just get online. The Carter Center in Atlanta will have an address. And
I don't have a computer. I'm not online.
Oh,
I'm
antediluvian
in my habits. So
all right, next time you call in, I'll see if we can look it up for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you, John, in Carmel Valley. More of your calls in just a moment. There's a line available at 888-5-PETER-B, subject to monitoring by the NSA, with complicity from Democrats in the United States Senate.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Central Coast residents mourn the loss of Father Charles L. Moore. Father Charlie was a beloved figure in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties for over 50 years. Elected the Santa Cruz District Attorney in 1954, he became a Catholic priest in 1964. In recent years, Father Charlie frequently appeared on the AM 1240 radio show in the company of angels. Father Charlie was a progressive, inclusive Catholic who dedicated his life to bringing together people of different faiths and cultural backgrounds. His book, Synthesis Remembered, Awakening Original Innocence, was published in 2006. There will be a viewing vigil on Tuesday, December 18th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Paul Mortuary, 390 Lighthouse Avenue in Pacific Grove. A memorial service will be held on Wednesday, the 19th at 11 a.m. at the Pacific Coast Church at 522 Central Avenue in Pacific Grove. Father Charles' friend, Dr. Bill Little, will officiate. After the service, Father Charlie will be remembered at a reception from 1:30 to 4:30 at the Holly Farm at 9200 Carmel Valley Road in Carmel Valley.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
All right, time for the last traffic report of the night. That's always exciting stuff, folks. We're cruising on over to Aptos, southbound 1 at State Park Drive. Plastic garbage bag. That's right, those darn pesky plastic bags. It's in the left lane of the off-ramp there. Then Castroville, good news there. Three-car crash, 156 before Castroville Boulevard. I'll give you the good news. Everything's been cleared out of the lanes to the right shoulder. Slow traffic southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel. Also eastbound 25, slow and go out of Gilroy and Hollister. And checking Highway 17, everything looking pretty good there. Well, Selsun Blue is doctor recommended to eliminate flakes and itch. It contains aloe and moisturizers to keep both your scalp and hair healthy. Never wear black without the blue. Selsun Blue.
Now on the Peter B. Collins Show, a musical postcard to Democrats in the United States Senate who voted to permit the illegal wiretapping to continue with amnesty for the phone companies?
Go straight to hell, boy.
And some girls, too.
Go straight to hell, boy.
Di-Fi, Mary Landro, Blanche Lincoln.
Wanna join in a chorus?
8 minutes in front of the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you by the Organic Wine Company. You eat organic food and it tastes better. Drink organic wine, it tastes better. You can call them toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE or log on to their website, ecoecowine.com. That's Veronique Raskin and the Organic Wine Company. Up next, it's Chris in Arcata. Welcome, Chris. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, but you're welcome.
I just got off work, and I started listening to your show, and it sounds like there are some pretty disgruntled people about Democrats. They're disgruntled with the Democrats, and they don't like the Republicans. And I hear some people say stuff like that on your show a lot, and I'm wondering, you know, why don't you tell these people about Ron Paul? Because, I mean, yesterday he raised over $6 million.
Right.
And this guy is huge. He stands for freedom and liberty. He is a Republican, but he is not a Republican by today's standards. He's
an
old school Republican.
Chris, I appreciate your point, but I can't support Ron Paul. He's too much of a libertarian for me. And on Iraq, on foreign policy, on the lies of the Bush administration, on our constitutional rights, he and I are in agreement. But if he became president, A, you point out he is a Republican, and I cannot continue Republican rule in any way, shape, or form, even an anti-war Republican. And beyond that, when it comes to gun rights, when it comes to shutting down the Department of Education, Ron Paul is too far into the libertarian orbit for me.
Yeah, I understand. I guess I can understand that.
And Chris,
point.
I really understand the frustration, and people are looking for an outlet. And I respect people who choose Ron Paul as that outlet, but not for me.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. I think a lot of people choose him because they are fed up with the two sides, and he represents something else.
Yeah. Well, keep talking it up. And again, I respect that point of view, and I think he has done a lot to offer a kind of laxative to the Republican debate this year. But I can't vote for him personally. Thanks a lot. Billy Sunshine from Capitola. Good to hear from you, Billy. How was Costa Rica?
You know, it was lovely. Warm and green, and it wasn't America.
Yeah.
I kept saying America to people and go, "You're in America." And I would say America del Sur, del Norte. You know, are you paid enough so that you can purchase good psychiatric help?
There's a therapist in the office right next door, Billy.
I mean, your job is so hard these days. Do they appreciate what they are doing to guys like you? How do you do it 3 hours a day?
Well, Billy, I appreciate that. This is my therapy, and being able to express myself helps me cope with this this BS that's going on.
You are good at it.
And the other side of it is, I don't know if you've caught up with the news, but Bernie Ward has been indicted by a federal grand jury on child pornography from the Internet charges, and it appears to me to be completely political. And he's off the air, and he may never come back.
Oh, my God. So we're just dropping like flies is what you're saying. So
I'm saying
who can do it and keep doing it have to keep doing it.
I'm saying that we are in a police state. I used to talk about the creeping police state and that we're moving toward fascism. But this vote by the Democrats today affirms that they don't give a damn.
The other 10 votes that didn't do it for you.
Well,
you know me, I've been frustrated for a long time. I mean, you know, whether it was torture or habeas corpus, you know how you feel about habeas corpus. So, you know, you've reached this crescendo a number of times. It's just like, because we, like you say, we have nowhere to go, there is no slap in the face that we won't face and then take another.
Yeah. Thank you, Billy.
Sure, buddy. Good luck.
Bienvenidos.
I love you.
Okay, and mucho gusto, too. I want to let you know that Tom Unsicker left Santa Cruz on Saturday morning. He is riding his bicycle with a trailer loaded with balls for members of Congress. They're ping pong balls. And he has made it, we believe, to the outskirts of San Luis Obispo, where he encountered two flat tires and was pushing the bike and the trailer into town. We hope to get a live report from him on the road tomorrow. Let's go to Greta in Monterey. Hi, Greta. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. Well, I'm unhappy about the vote, but unfortunately, I'm not surprised because I've been having this problem for a long time. But you said, I mean, I've been aware of it, and they're definitely being threatened. But my point is, I want to make before I get miss it, mm-hmm. is that you said you're not going to send any money to Democrats. Well, you know, Chris Dodd and I believe Joe Biden said he would support him in the filibuster if he could.
Yes, Dodd, now, Biden, and Feingold attempted it, but they were outvoted. And, you know, again, but, this was a procedural vote, and some of these people may not vote for the underlying bill, but they have enabled its passage.
And I'm saying I think Chris Dodd needs some support.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he's running for president.
Right.
He may not get it, but, you know, rather than say just throw in the towel,
mm-hmm.
now I don't think he's perfect. I don't think Joe Biden's perfect.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, that they need support.
I think your point is well taken, Greta. Trigger's here and going to take me off into the sunset. Thanks
okay.
for listening, and thanks for calling, and thanks for caring.
Happy trails to you.
We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same great radio stations. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or a strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you know you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The holiday shopping season can make or break a retailer's year, and with just a week to go, CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says sales have been less than spectacular.
Luxury goods are doing very well. They're up more than 10%. Electronics are doing very well. They're up more than 6%. But you are seeing slowdowns in some specific areas, like women's clothing. And the sense there is that, you know, women who are the big shoppers in the holiday season are going out and buying for their husbands, buying for their kids, but they're holding back buying for themselves. And so you're seeing a big decline there.
To make the most out of these final shopping days, some Macy's stores will be open 24 hours, and Toys R Us will stay open till midnight every night until Christmas Eve. The family budget is strained by high energy prices, and on top of that, it's gotten more expensive to eat. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers talked to a shopper.
This father of two, Chris Ramirez, says every time his groceries are rung up, he feels rung out.
Oh, shocked. Everything just keeps going up, and it seems like the paychecks are staying the same.
He'll still bring home the bacon, but it'll cost 22 cents more per pound than it did last year, up to $3.66. Eggs are up 51 cents a dozen. But it is the price of milk that is really getting hard to swallow, up 90 cents over this time last year. Why? Because the grains it takes to feed animals and make many foods, corn, soybeans, wheat, and rice, have all recently hit record highs. Cynthia Bowers, CBS News, Chicago.
Fidel Castro, in a letter read on Cuban TV, says he doesn't want to hold on to power or block the path of younger leaders. That's revived speculation that Castro, who's 80 and ailing, might be ready to step down. But Havana-based CBS News reporter Portia Siegelbaum says don't bet on it.
January 20th, there are elections to the Cuban parliament. He is a candidate.
for Parliament, and it's out of the Parliament that they choose their Council of State and the President of the country. So the question is he going to be reelected? My guess at this moment is that yes, he's going to be reelected. And we're going to see Fidel Castro until he's on his deathbed hold on the title of President of Cuba.
Castro temporarily handed power to his brother Raul when he had to undergo surgery in the summer of 2006.